like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
What, Tony Soprano?
What not?
Sign It was the worst episode ever.
Yeah. What not?
But let's not start with Tony Soprano.
No. What's happened to our show?
Let's start with...
Oh, here we go.
We'll have the Belcher phone calls in a moment. While you're waiting on my review of Spidey 3. Got it for you. Coming up. How's your Monday? Toots.
Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man.
Right.
Does whatever a spider can. Spins a web.
On
any side. Catches just a fly. Look out.
Look out. Right, that's funny. You know what is funny is the other one.
Yeah.
Where's that other one?
Listen.
From last week.
Not that one. Where's that other one?
The one with the better lyrics.
You mean the guy that's got the voice that goes, Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's a member of the Fantastic Four.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man. He can talk to fish underwater. When he turns green, he grows in size. His clothes rip off from kryptonite. Look out. Here comes the Spider-Man. He's my favorite member of the Fantastic Four. His utility belt is really cool. His airplane is invisible. Spinach makes him super strong. Shazam! Mm-hmm. There goes the Spider-Man.
What?
You know!
You know!
You know!
You know!
And how about Knight Rider 2007?
Please.
Are you all right?
What?
Are you all right, Michael?
I'll be fine.
I took the liberty of scanning your vital signs. Your blood pressure is 190 over 120, and your pulse is 104.
Who said?
If I may be so bold, what on earth were you doing down there?
I'll be fine.
You can't be serious, Michael.
I'll be fine.
I suggest you keep your ample derriere off my hood.
I'm going to stop.
I'm sorry, Michael. I have nothing to say.
Get up behind me.
I beg your pardon. How demeaning.
Shut.
Don't touch Turbo Boost. Something tells me you shouldn't touch Turbo Boost.
I have you,
Ugh. Unforgivable.
I'll have you. Unbull.
Very funny.
I'll have you. Never go.
Very well. Doesn't he ever give up?
On hotel. This is a mess.
I see your point.
Unbull.
Oh, shut up.
You.
Not now, Michael. I have a headache. Good night.
Oh, William
big,
Daniels.
Big, big and a big. Big and a big, big.
There
big,
he is.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, there, boy.
What a bay, the bad, a boo, the boo.
Yeah, there, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Love there, boy.
Hey, Monday there, boy.
How was your weekend there, boy?
Yeah, what a weekend there, boy.
Boy, how about some Belcher tapes, boy?
Yeah, let's do it there, boy.
He calls the DJs and he plays, right? That's
right. Right.
Why is that funny?
How about that Kentucky Derby there? Huh?
I like your boy.
Yeah, the Derby Day.
Yeah, this is nice. Listen. And you're on the air.
Are you on some kind of delay, Sydney?
You betcha.
Oh, let me turn this down.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me turn down my radio.
Good move, comrade.
Conrad.
How long have you been on that radio for?
Oh, since the Carter administration. He was my co-host back then. Anyway, how you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling great. Probably the best I've felt in a long time, actually.
Good for you. Far out.
Yeah, and I've actually been listening to you. I just did the math.
Far out.
Listening to you. It's been 28 years.
You've been listening to me for 28 years?
28 years.
Are you crazy? What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, on and off.
On and off, okay.
Since I've been listening for 28 years, could I just say Happy New Year to my friends Don, Mike, Buzz, and Joe?
Sure.
Buzz, particularly, who taught me how to kiss like a man.
Okay.
You want to know what's really funny?
The whiskers.
No, besides the whiskers.
Okay.
28 years later,
yeah,
I still think it's funny to do this.
You, yeah, I remember you were one of my first calls. This is the Belcher. He belched on my show when I started. I mean, remember how upset Jimmy Carter used to get when you did that? But I want to end this on a holy thing. So thank you for your 28 years of annoying the hell out of me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Anytime, pal.
Okay.
Take care. Bye bye. Everyone loves me, even the people who make funny noises.
I love that guy.
Toodaloo ass.
Good afternoon, Talkback. You are up next with Ian Williams. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlepersons. The reason that I'm calling is because I think that the average person with any common sense realizes that the United Nations has become as solid as cellulite. And I should know since I have some. But the reason that I'm calling is because I believe that a lot of the member nations that are against the United States are against us for the sole purpose that the State Department refuses the worldwide distribution of the Don and Mike Show.
Right. And no, well, yeah, I'll come on. This is one of our regular callers. You're very funny. Good afternoon, Talk. Come on.
Good afternoon.
Yes.
This is one of our big corners.
He didn't even burp on that one.
No, he didn't have time.
Yeah, we'll take it on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
you're on the air.
I'm on the. Hold on. Let me turn down my radio.
Hold on a second. That was my mistake. Excuse me. Let's hear the beginning of that one again.
Yeah, right. We'll take it on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
you're on the air.
I'm on the. Hold on. Let me turn down my radio. Good morning, gentle person. It's nice to hear you on the radio. There are not enough female or lady talk show hosts.
Thank you.
Lady.
It's nice to hear one. And I really am enjoying the theme of your show. And I subscribe to one of the previous callers' opinion that I think larger women just give you more love. And personally, I think
we're snuggly.
I think you're very snuggly. The more rolls, the better, I would say. Though I do subscribe to Dr. Don Geronimo's theory that the deeper the belly button, the fatter the woman.
Okay.
Or is it the fatter the woman,
the deeper the belly button?
No, actually, it's the fattest woman on earth must have the deepest belly button.
I would say so. What's your first name?
Rudy.
Glad to meet you.
Now, since it's rare to have a woman on the radio, would you mind if I...
Well, gee, were you able to dump it? Thank you. So sorry. So sorry. That's what happens when you take live calls.
Ended with an album.
I'm going to stop.
Everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
You know.
Big, bang, bang.
Welcome back to the show.
All right, this would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Uh-oh, jungle! He prefers to be treated like a dog. Also, a toilet.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
What glorious boo.
I thought he sucked.
Hey.
Be warned, this is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We are.
Really? Wow, cool.
Very cool. Hold on a second. Where is Ed? Hi, Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
How the frig are you? Hi, little brains. We're little brains just like you. You bet we are. Don and Mike Show, new episode, and it's Monday. The phone number, maybe you just heard it. 877-365-3636. Take your calls all day. All day long. That's why we're here.
All day suckers.
I like that.
Very definitive statement at the beginning of the show. We'll take them all day long.
All day.
It doesn't matter, you know, look, it doesn't matter. It's what we do.
Long as they come in, we'll take them. You know.
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 What not.
What not.
What not.
What not.
Believe that? Tony Soprano said what not. Isn't my taste in music awful?
Not to me.
Every once in a while I can throw a piece of garbage like this. It's just the beginning. We're going to talk over it.
I don't think anything of it when you put something like this on.
Bow.
This is you.
Why did you favor rape?
I don't know, Larry.
Our top winner in the showcase is gay.
That would be me for selecting that song.
Miss Moore, what year would that be? Would that be 70s?
69. Yeah.
69.
69, my favorite year,
woo!
My favorite position.
All right.
My favorite to order at the Chinese restaurant, Toucan Chew.
And that's a 1969 joke, too, but that goes along
still
with it.
Drum.
Now, that's actually been out there, but probably before you and I came along, that joke.
Dream of
there.
Some Young Guy, Please.
I.P. Daily.
Under the Bleachers by Seymour Heine. How are you?
How are you?
What?
What? Was that it? I mean, was it the overall sucking of the episode or the fact that he said what? I think it was a combination of both.
No,
right?
It was the worst. It was maybe,
ever.
Of all of the Sopranos, maybe the worst one ever.
It had to be a good one following last week's, which also sucked. And
it made last week's look like a tour de force.
Great. You know, I was saying to all you guys last time that they had it, 10 years ago when they had their last run of new episodes of The Sopranos, I thought 30% of those sucked, too.
Yeah,
it's just been good. You know what kills me is, what do we have, 4 episodes left?
That's right.
Yep. When are they going to start getting... starting new plot lines.
Didn't you want an entire hour of AJ crying?
Oh, God. When I stood up and I said, that's it. When AJ is in the shrink's office, that's when I said, okay, forget it.
Before we discuss The Sopranos, we really should discuss Spidey 3.
Okay.
All right. Which set all kinds of freaking box office records this weekend.
I loved it.
You didn't see it.
I did. No, I did go see it.
Did you really?
No.
You said you were. I walked into that time. Well, are you ready?
I'm ready for your review.
What do you think?
Was that a tip-off right there? Incredible?
Might have been.
So good. Oh, no.
Which is it? What do you think? Do you think I loved it or hated it?
You know, I'm going to say you're a contrarian a lot of times. You love being going against the flow in a certain way. And in other ways, you love being like with the country. And since it got a good number, I'm going to say you loved it.
I'm going to say I didn't see it because my girlfriend, who has no respect for time, did not arrive back into town until last night at 7:30.
Hey,
I love her. I really do.
It wasn't like that was the number one thing you were looking forward to all week.
Waiting. Well, and not only me, but her as well. Remember, she had gone to the trouble of buying 8 million boxes of Ritz cookies, cracker things, so we could get our free tickets to go see Spider-Man.
I mean, you were talking about Sunday on Friday. I knew you were planning, and you were making a big deal about the fact that you weren't going to go see it without her.
Right. When the reviews started to come out and they were awful, and everybody that I know has told me it just sucks ass, I still wanted to see it to make up my own mind.
Sure.
And she was very firm in saying, in real life, not only on the radio, I think, but in real life, she said to me, you know, listen, seriously, let's go see this movie together. You're looking forward to it. I'm going to go to my mom's. She left on Thursday. The plan was she was going to get up early on Sunday morning.
Right.
Drive back, and then we'd go see the movie, maybe catch some dinner, and watch The Sopranos.
Okay, now you are the first person that I heard this from about her. I'm sure maybe it's been said before, but you're the person that said she doesn't respect time. So I would assume...
I say that with love, Mike.
I know you say it with love, and
it's her only flaw.
And I would assume that you are somebody who would probably be at least able to not assume that she's going to leave when she says she's going to leave. and you'd be able to maybe make a phone call and say, have you left yet? Have you left yet? Have you left yet? You didn't bother with that?
Well, here's the thing. Talked to her on Saturday quite a few times when she was doing the various errands and stuff with her family. And she kept saying over and over again, okay, I'm going to get up early on Sunday and come back so we can go to the movies. Early Sunday, we go to the movies, right.
All right. Can I say, I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but but I'm fascinated with this because you really made a very, very significant deal of this last week.
Mm-hmm.
When she said she's going to get up early on Sunday, at that point, was there a conversation where a specific time was mentioned?
Here's the thing. I got to be careful how I put this.
Okay.
Sure. Sure, boy.
Yeah. Sure.
Because I know.
What's the time?
Because I know she's very. I know.
Boy, she's got to get up early there, boy.
She's a smart woman.
Yes.
She knows if she's 5.5 hours away.
Yeah.
She's going to have to probably be on the road, I would guess. I don't know. What do I know about things? I'm just a man who has respect for time.
Right.
I would say be on the road by, gosh, 7 a.m. by the latest. That'll get you home by, like, 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Make it to the movie.
Dick around with the dogs a little bit.
You get all afternoon. You get, what, 3-4 shows you can go to.
Go see the movie, have dinner, watch The Sopranos. She called at 8:30 yesterday morning.
Huh.
I thought it would be the call that was, hey, I'm on the road.
Yeah.
And when the phone rang and I saw the caller ID, I thought, you know, I gotta give her props.
Mm-hmm.
She's on the road, a little later than I would be, but she's on the road.
All right.
She said, hi, good morning. I said, what's happening? She said, oh.
Oh, no.
I was up late painting that room with my mom, and I'm just having my second cup of coffee now with my mom, and I'm showing her our pictures from Jamaica. And I said, groovy. Because at this point, I already know it.
Yeah. You know it's toast.
Yeah. And I
at this point, are you...
I have proof. Give me just a moment.
Okay.
And we'll get to the proof.
All right.
She said, I'm still going to get out of here really fast. I'm going to have the coffee with my mom. Then I'm going to call my dad. And her parents are, you know, like a lot of parents.
Sure.
They split up.
Okay.
So, but they live close to each other.
So she has to visit both of them?
Yes. Yeah, so she said, I'm going to call my dad. Just swing by. It's on the way out. Swing by real fast. You might not even be up for seeing me. And then I'll see you. And I said, okay, I tell you what, sweetie. And this answers your question, Mike, about updates. I said to Janet, listen, don't call me, please, with an update saying I'm going to be leaving in 10 minutes. Just call me when you are actually on the road coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, all right, that's good. And I hung up the phone immediately, 8:30, and called Rob.
Right.
And I call him now as my witness from... Step up, Robbie.
Take the stand, please.
At that point, I asked Rob to place his bet on when Janet would be home, because I, in my mind, already knew that there was not a chance she's going to be home in time for the movie.
It was actually a little before 8:30 when you called, and you locked in your guest and then invited me to guess, and my guess was 6 p.m., and he said, you can't have it. That guess is already taken.
Wow.
So I took 6:15.
Okay.
She surprised us all.
What time did she give you the update as to when she actually hit the road?
When the phone rang at 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock in the afternoon.
She did as I requested. She didn't call with like these BS updates like I'm leaving in just a moment. She called at 2 o'clock.
Was her cab late?
so she got over
5 hours? It took her 5 hours. She was going to swing by and see her dad?
Yeah.
And finish up drinking coffee? It took...
Now, see, here's the thing.
What is... She does have a problem.
No, hey, watch it. Hey, them's fighting words there, boy.
Well, you're the one that said it. I'm just saying that...
It's like, I can say it, you can't.
Oh, that's... I understand. But I mean, she does have a little issue with... But
and,
I don't get it. I don't get... What did she do?
I know a lot of you probably are thinking, well, hey, you big dumbass, why didn't you just go to the movie by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, until I got the call at 2 o'clock, I didn't know. There was still a chance that she could do a... squirrely thing, like a Jimmy Legs thing, and all of a sudden it would be like, hey, I'm here, I'm ready to go to the movies.
Right. Like if she maybe got going in an hour or something.
And
like
I was
that.
Thinking, there's even if she arrived as late as, like around noon, I was thinking, oh God, even if she gets here like by 5, technically, she still is going to have that window where she could say, we can still go to the movies.
Right.
So I really, even though I knew in my heart she was not going to make it home on time, I couldn't go to the movies because there was the outside shot
that she might.
She'd get home in time.
So, would she get home about 8? 8:30?
7:40.
7:40. Mm-hmm. Which really would only allow you to go to the 9 o'clock show on Sunday, which you're not going to do because the Sopranos
I love Sopranos. And,
but you seem like you you completely have accepted this. So was there any tension when she got home?
I thought I played it well, and here's why I played it so well. Because
did you play it Hoyt?
No, I didn't have to because here's Janet's weird conception of time. Mm-hmm. About 4:30 yesterday, phone rings and it's her. It says, hi. She gives me an update on where she is, about 3 hours away.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, I've just been driving along and thinking about things, and I just want to tell you something. I said, what, sweetie? She said, I'm really sorry. And I said, oh, don't sweat it. She said, about last weekend.
About the game?
Yeah, well, you know, we had that whole big fight in front of Rob and his son about it. She was late last week. So I imagine next weekend she'll say to me, hey, I'm really sorry about the
this
time.
This is fascinating.
For the Spider-Man.
This is really, really. So everything was cool last night.
And what am I going to do? Get mad, like beat the crap out of her? No, I mean, you know, I'll live.
She can't even apologize on time.
That's right.
She's a week late on that.
Plus, boy.
Hey, boy.
Like every person that I know who respect comic books like I do had called me and already said, ugh, you want to stay away from this one. I mean, you're going to go.
So it's not a big deal that you didn't go see it.
Well, I'm crushed, Mike.
I'm trying to read you. You know, I think, you know what I'm seeing here? I'm seeing somebody who's really trying to low-key it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, top of mind
there's
with
a part
you,
of me that just wants to scream about, you know.
You're venting right now. You're getting it out of your system right now.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Ah.
Find out what it means to me.
And not respecting individuals, respecting time. The clock on the wall.
Right. The atomic clock.
Right.
Respect it. Know it. Love it. Learn it.
I'm curious if she goes into any kind of explanation as to, because I'm kind of curious about the 8:30 call, and then it's 2 o'clock when she hits the road.
I guess she's just hanging out with her family, right?
Let me just say, after a lifetime of experiencing women, I am not surprised. They're all carriers of this. Uh-huh. Some of them simply have it. Janet has it at stage 5 of the no respect of time.
Advanced.
Most guys, their wives, you get it like, like your girlfriend at this point. She probably, if you have an appointment or something, she's dressed and she's ready to go. Maybe there's like a...
Carla is great at being, like, if I say I'm going to be here at a certain time, she's actually, like, when we were dating, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life that she would be waiting for me at a restaurant. First time we had one of our very first dinner dates, she was waiting for me. What I learned after we started living together was the preparation time that cannot be altered.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So in other words, she got ready on her own time and allowed for herself to be ready to get there early, and she is good about being punctual. However, you can't mess with her prep time.
Right.
So in other words, if we're running late and we don't have that 1.5 hour window of prep time, then all bets are off.
The minimum.
So that's you know, you say all women have, all women have it, and it manifests itself in different ways, you know, and certain women can, you know, have to have that prep time. Other women don't respect time. But there's a time issue. I'd be hard pressed to argue with you that there's not a time issue with every man and woman out there.
In fairness to Janet, that she's an equal opportunity non-respecter of time, including her own. There have been many times that she's had stuff that she's had to do. Mm-hmm. And it's like that thing where I'm looking at her and going, why are you still here? You've got that a million things you wanted to do today, things that you said you were going to do.
Right.
But, what am I going to say to her? Like, it's the only flaw she's got. She really is a wonderful woman.
Yes.
I love her. It's just...
Literally.
She has no respect for time.
And it's but you know it now. And so you can it's like in a golf swing. You can play the slice now.
Because
you know it's gonna go left to right every time you hit the ball, so you can play it that way.
I was not mad. Yeah, right. Like I said to Rob yesterday, or Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any of the people that I called to tell them that I wasn't mad.
Right.
I said to them all, I'm not mad. Right. Now let me tell you for about 30 minutes why I'm not mad.
Sure.
Now after I tell you that I'm not mad, how isn't this funny?
Right.
And
Well, then you've got it under control. You'll be okay with it the next time it happens.
I believe so. And the other bullet that I dodged this weekend, well, not that that was a bullet. I knew that that was going to happen. But because Jan was going to be out of town, my friend Tom, you know Tom, he called me up on Saturday and he said, I got an idea. I have tickets for the NASCAR race tonight in Richmond. Why don't you pile in my Suburban and let's all go down together? And I actually thought about it for a couple of seconds. And I thought, I'm going to get back to like 3 in the morning. No, thanks. I get a call from him at about 9:15 on Saturday night. And it's not the normal sound that you would hear from someone in a NASCAR race.
With the normal sound at 9:15 would be,
with a loud.
Right.
Right. No, it's rather quiet. And he says, hey, it's Tom. How you doing? I said, I'm great. He said, have you turned on the race? And I said, oh, totally forgot about it. Yeah. He said, oh, it's been pouring rain down here in Richmond. He said, we've been here now for about 5 hours, and it's been pouring rain, and there is 120,000 people, and he said that it smells very much like ass. And his quote was, he said, I can say this to you because we've been friends for so long. I'm really glad that you didn't come down with us, because right now, you'd be very upset.
Oh, yeah, and miserable.
And I said, what, me? And he said,
what?
He said, yeah, everybody's sitting inside the Suburban right now.
Yeah, the rain was all down south.
Yeah.
They got the race in, but the rain was all down there.
They didn't get the race in until yesterday.
Oh, is that when they finished it?
They got, like, he said, 10 laps in.
Okay.
And then there was...
Oh, that's like, right. He wanted you to come down for the Bush race, right?
No. The regular race is Saturday night.
Oh, okay. All
the NASCAR race under the lights.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it smelled like ass, and it was raining, and he sounded very miserable, and he said...
Congratulations to Jimmy Johnson.
He said he thought that I would be unhappy in that situation. Yeah,
accurate. You dodged one.
I would be very unhappy.
You'd be unhappy with that.
Yeah, that would have been fun, though, you know, just looking at the people, the drunk people that smelled like ass from the window of the Suburban. You might have enjoyed the people watching down there.
Yeah, but I got what he was saying, though, after 5 hours.
It's got to be clear, no rain, hot. I mean, that's when you go see a race.
What he said to me was, he said, it's like Pimlico, except it's not in Baltimore, it's in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who have never been to those fine cities, well, you won't understand inference, but...
They're wonderful slices of Americana.
Richmond's
they truly are.
My God. As far as I'm concerned, you give that back to the Queen when she goes over to see Jamestown. You say, take this back. Take this whole city back with you.
Well, she's up here today, so... Is she gone yet? Did she leave yet?
Not quite, no.
Not yet? She's still in town?
She's got to have dinner tonight. She's got to have her pea soup tonight.
I understand. She didn't respect time all that well this morning. She was a little late for her ceremony. For her ceremonial arrival. And then W punted it again.
What did he do?
He mentioned when you were here, and he got the dates wrong for the bicentennial. You know, when you're here back in... 1776. When you were here back in, I think he said, when you were here back in 1776. Well, it was 1976.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, not much. Hey, Don, I was thinking about it. You didn't want to miss Sopranos, but don't you have TiVo? Why wouldn't you just watch Sopranos like after you got done with the movie?
Well, first off, how old are you? I feel like I'm speaking to a man whose nuts haven't dropped yet.
I'm 19 years old.
19?
No, you got to be at least, drinking age. I mean,
I'm 48. I'm not going to take crap from a 19-year-old. I mean, I take crap from a 22-year-old, but he's my son, for God's sakes.
But I've been called.
Get out of here, you
go,
creep.
Go and live.
You little creep.
But you're not a big, sometimes you use TiVo differently. You like to see something like The Sopranos because it's not commercially interrupted.
As it's happening.
As it's happening.
As it's happening. Right. And I'm a hermit, you know me, Sunday night, inside.
Mm-hmm. Stay in the doors.
Put your blanket on.
Stay in of doors. Make sure you stay in of doors.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, my buddies.
Hey,
hello, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Tom.
See, I have... Whoops.
What?
See, I haven't been calling that much.
Hey, good for you.
You know.
You know.
You know.
You know.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
You know.
Guess what?
You know.
What?
Watch it.
What?
Guess what this weekend is?
Mother's Day.
Nope. Guess what's Saturday night?
What is Saturday night?
Mother's Day Eve.
No, it's not.
Time to tardy? Party?
No. It's, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Great Falls, Virginia. Patriot Center, the main event, Jimmy Lang.
Tom, are you involved in some type of boxing match this weekend?
Yes, I am.
You're going to the boxing match at the Patriot Center?
Yes, I am. I'm working it.
Oh, you're very working. Good. And that's the main event? So Jimmy Lang is the boxer in the main event?
Yep, Jimmy Lang.
Tom's on the undercard.
Tom, who are you going to be fighting?
Undercard.
I'm not going to be fighting. Jimmy Lang is.
Did you say undercard?
I did.
You're not going to be fighting?
Nope, I'm going to be selling programs.
What do you say, Tom, when you're selling your programs? Let everybody hear what it sounds like.
Programs here. Get your programs.
You know.
And if, say, how much do the programs normally go for?
Oh, this $5.
So
$5.
They're $5. So if I gave you $20, how much change would you give me back?
$20?
Yeah, I give you $20 for a $5 program. How much change are you going to give me back?
$15.
Hey. What if I want $3 and I give you $20?
How much change does Don get back? Or does he get change back?
No.
He doesn't get change.
Change
good for you, Tom.
What?
That's right. You got it.
What if I want to buy five? How much is that?
$25.
What if he wants to buy 10?
Ten programs?
Ten programs, yeah.
That's $30.
Yes, that's right.
What's Tom? The refund policy, Tom?
What?
Never mind.
Hey, Tom.
Hey.
Tom, what if I had a $50 bill,
yeah,
and I bought 6 programs. How many would you have to get? Oh, that's Joe couldn't get that one.
How much change?
What if I had a $20 bill and I bought 2? How much change?
You buy 2 programs?
Yeah, and he gives you $20 and he wants 2 programs. How much change does he get?
He gets $5 back.
Yep, fair enough. That's right.
Hey, guess who's on my... Hey, I'm going to tell you something.
What?
Oh, hey, you sound secretive right now.
You know.
Guess who's on my... God, I am... I can't say it. Guess who's on my MySpace?
Who?
Dumbass. Dave.
Oh, Super Dave.
Super Dave's on my goddamn... can I say it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He's on my goddamn MySpace. Get the hell off my goddamn MySpace, you goddamn douchebag Dave.
Well, why are you so mad at him, Tom?
What?
Why are you so mad at him?
Because I like to come in and be on the street doing what I did with Valentine.
He's running out of gas.
But Tom, he's awesome. Super Dave is awesome.
No, he's not.
Super Dave.
I'm best at he is.
No, you're wrong about that. No, you're wrong about that.
Hey,
you know.
No.
You know.
Charlie.
Super Dave is the best we've ever had.
Hey, no, he's not.
Oh, yes, he is.
No,
yes, he is. Without question.
He is a dumbass. The goddamn radio.
Now, you know what he is? He is the next great thing in radio.
Hey,
just. What are you doing to your phone?
I'm not doing anything.
Super Dave is such
Dave is a dumbass.
No, but he's such a great guy.
Super Dave can talk on the phone without running his gigantic chin into the buttons.
I'm not doing that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You know.
Yes, you are.
You know.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, what are you doing?
How are you doing today?
Good.
La, la, la.
And that's a disqualification for Tom and Aloysius Gavin.
Two times he dropped the S-bomb.
Wow. I knew if I got him into Charlie and then went back to the Super Dave, catch him by surprise.
You know.
Like a sailor.
God, why doesn't he know better?
Super Dave is an
F-head. Rob had one. Super Dave got a job selling food at the Patriot Center. Oh, get him.
You know.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Super Dave's an S-head. So we jump out, and he says the exact same thing.
Again. Oh. That's when he gets real. That was real natural getting ramped up, Tom.
Yeah, VA uniform.
Gotta love it.
Hey, let's hit a break here, Mike. Okay, when we come back, two things that you need to... Well, first, we'll talk about The Sopranos. I have an announcement about my brother, the Earth Dog, and a party. Let me just say this, dude. A major party that you and I were not invited to.
Wow. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah.
Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not happy about that.
Nor am I.
I think that's not fair.
You wouldn't have gone if you were invited, would you?
No.
No, neither would I.
Yeah.
But it would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice.
It would have been nice
to be included.
Yes.
Been included. Absolutely.
Right.
Nice Auto, would have been nice.
How many times have we opened our doors to these losers?
Many times.
No, not many times.
A few.
Some, one. Some. Twice.
Several.
Once? Twice.
Well, collectively. Well, all the time.
Oh,
dozens. The losers have been to my house.
Dozens.
Many times.
Yes, you many more times than me.
But you and I are... Hold on, Tom's back on the phone.
Right.
Tom, you cannot keep dropping... Tom. Tom. Tom, you cannot drop the S-bomb, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
I'm sorry.
Tom, did you hear that Super Dave got a job selling food at the Patriot Center?
Nope.
Yeah,
he did not.
Yeah, he did.
You know what? I'm going to kick his butt.
Well, no, there's no need for that. He's going to probably be the best hot dog salesman they have.
No, he didn't get no
Yes,
job.
He did.
No, he didn't.
He's working right near you.
No, he's not.
You know.
Yes,
no.
He is. Watch he, it.
You know.
You know. Watch it.
You know.
You know.
There
we are.
Charlie. What are you doing?
Sitting here talking to you.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Yes.
Guess what?
What?
I'm going to go see Spider-Man 3 with my best friend, Super Dave.
I'm going to go see Spider-Man with my best, with Charlie the Animal Steel.
A friend.
With who?
You mean George the Animal Steel?
Yeah, George the Animal Steel.
Is he still alive?
Yes.
You've seen him?
Yes, I see him. He's outside waiting for me to go with him now.
Really?
George the Animal Steel is waiting for you?
No.
You must look like father and son because you both have bald heads.
You know.
You know.
Yeah.
Hey, where's
Charlie?
You know where Charlie is? He's talking to Super Dave right now.
Charlie
has a song for you. Would you like to hear it, Tom?
What?
Would you like to hear Charlie's new song
you
for
know.
You?
Know.
Yeah.
Here it goes, something like this.
I love Super Dave. I love Super Dave. I love Super Dave because he's my best friend. Hell no. Hell no.
Tom?
What?
Are you tired today?
No, I'm happy.
He just doesn't seem...
No, I think he's been very energetic today. He's been very, very energetic today.
He can't seem to find the words.
Hey, Tom? Tom, if I want to buy one program and I give you $7, how much do you give me back?
$3.
Perfect. You're the greatest, Tom.
Exactly. You are the greatest, Tom. You know we love you.
See, I like to come out and...
But, Tom?
Yes?
As much as we love you, we love Super Dave a million times more.
Can you tell us how great Super Dave is?
Dave is a no. Now, wait a minute.
What?
Who did the Easter Bunny at
hey.
108 Main Street?
Tom, how do you spell super?
S-P... Listen.
You know.
He got stripped.
You know.
Tom, we gotta get a break.
He got stripped.
Tom, take us to break.
Don and Mike, get a break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you counting sheep all night long?
He needs help.
Help from a drug.
That help is here. Meet Nappian. Nappian activates your brain's napping centers and attacks your body's awakogens. And unlike Sleepia, it won't cause foot fattening or elbow stink. Ooh.
The Don and Mike Show.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Bastards. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
You see, Mike the CP comic has called a couple of times, and I got through you today. Apparently, he's going to be featured tonight on King of Queens.
Right. He, like you, has a... and like me, I guess I never had a speaking part, but I was on the show.
Walk on.
And somehow I watched it the other night. I don't know where I saw it. And it was like that part where we were sitting there with Kevin James and...
You saw the one
Vinny Barbarino guy where we're sitting there and you're wearing a Jets jersey.
We did the walk-on thing?
Yeah.
You saw that one repeated?
Yes.
Why were you... Hey, boy.
Yeah.
Why are you watching a King of Queens rerun there, boy?
I'm just trying to piece it all together. It had to be like somewhere on a website or something that I saw, because it was not like where I sat through a whole episode of King of Queens, but I watched it, and there we were, just sitting there smirking like we always did when we have any of those extra roles. We just sit there and smirk.
We are tools, yeah, in that fake bar. Well, if Mike the CP comic calls back,
yes,
we'll get him online and find out what's going on with that.
Good.
Let me see. Oh, poker party. That's the party I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There was a poker party that happened on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And everyone on the show is invited except you and I.
I thought it was a birthday party.
It was a poker party the way it was described to
it
me.
It was both. You're both right.
It was
John's birthday party.
It was
great taste. John's birthday poker party, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't know it was poker.
It was put to me as
I didn't know it was poker.
It was put to me as a poker party.
That was like a boy. Were the wives there?
Yes.
Oh, the wives were there.
Mostly, yes. Well, describe, please. What does mostly mean?
Well, Joe's wife wasn't there. Everybody else's wife was there.
Did the wives play poker?
Yes, they did.
Well, who told you it was a poker party? John.
John told you it was a poker
John
party.
Told me in an email, mm-hmm. said, had a good time with Buzz and Joe at the poker party on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, was it a poker party or a birthday party?
Well, it was a combination of things. It was a barbecue, we watched the Kentucky Derby, and then we played poker.
When I was invited, it was pitched as a poker party.
You were invited, too?
I could not make it.
You didn't go?
I could not go. My wife was ill.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to talk about that.
Oh?
Boy, has God smiled on Rob.
Really?
How so? Carrie has laryngitis.
Oh, no.
Isn't that magical?
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the sound of angels I heard coming out of your new residence?
Quiet angels.
Quiet angels.
Quiet, and she's napping a lot, too. Because I thought, you know, that's probably the best thing for you would be rest.
Just calm down.
So you cats had a nice poker party. My question was really, I'm just goofing about me and Mike not being invited, but when the pressure of Mike and I is not there on Buzz, how did Buzz do playing poker without us there?
Tell him.
Buzz did well. About normal.
Did the ladies? Hold on. Describe well and about normal.
He enjoys playing. He's never 100% sure what the bet is, who is supposed to make the bet, and what position he's sitting in.
Right. But so other than that, it's perfect.
So he's the same as when he plays with us.
Yeah, pretty much.
And was this the end of the party or the middle of the party or?
No, unfortunately, Buzz did not get very good cards on Saturday night, so he didn't play all that long. He went through his money fairly quickly.
After buying back in, I still was out again by 8:45, and that's when I just decided, you know, at this point, it isn't really gambling anymore because I know how it's going to turn out.
You just had that losing feeling.
Oh, every time I play, I haven't won a hand. I don't remember the last time I won even a hand. Not even a hand. I get like. Every time, a queen and a three. And then you get, oh boy, hey, this is exciting. I got a four and a five. All face cards, nothing. One ace I get, it was a missed deal. I had to give it back.
Well, John,
no luck.
Isn't it great, though, when he doesn't know the rules?
It is fun.
Mm-hmm.
How did he shuffle?
He shuffles well.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting better at that?
Well, I've always been pretty good at it, except in...
Not in front of us, you have.
Well, that was a different situation. All eyes were upon me at that time.
So you guys, who was the big winner?
I took home about,
most
I think I won 50 or 60 bucks.
There you go.
My wife won 20. I think Craig and Cheryl took home about 40 between the two of them. So I think I was the big winner overall.
Yeah. Craig and Cheryl? Other friends of ours.
Yeah. Oh, we were all right. Those are their hedonist friends.
Okay.
They were at the baseball game.
Oh, is this where everybody was wearing tie-dye?
Yeah.
It's one of those parties.
That's why. Started out with tie-dye, and then it just got less and less.
But a good time was had by all.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, that's good.
Well, there I was just thinking we could goof on the fact that we weren't invited, but he's the same old Buzz if we're there or not.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter. And, you know, it'd be nice to get an invitation once in a while, you know, just to, you know, so we could at least say no. You know, say no politely.
That's right.
It's a good feeling when you can do that.
Yeah. So, so everything I've heard about Spider-Man. Oh, hold on. Deal or no deal? I never watched this show. Mm. Last night, waiting for The Sopranos to come on, turned it on, and stumbled upon maybe what is the greatest ever episode.
Yeah?
It's like you played the game backwards. You would have this chick that was on last night. She kept getting lower and lower amounts. You know how they got all the big money on the right side and all the little money on the left side?
Right.
The amount, now admittedly, I turned it on late.
Yeah.
But to catch up, at one point, the fake guy on the phone had offered her $180,000.
Pretty good.
She turned it down.
Ooh.
She, this poor bitch, had the $1 in her briefcase the entire time.
That's
so
funny.
As they go down to like three, they got two of the models up there. And there's like $20, $10, and $1.
So the two cases that are up on the stage have $20 and $10, and she's got $1. So you got $31 in play.
She doesn't know she's got the $1.
Right.
So at one point, the fake guy on the phone calls up, and Howie Mandel says, okay, here is his final offer. And it goes up on the board, $3.
That's great. That's now, very rare, too. It's as rare as it is to see them win $1 million.
It's almost like winning, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm watching this where it's going like from, they offered her $180,000,
wow.
$130,000, $67,000, $25,000.
She's a gambler.
$15,000.
Mm-hmm.
She went all the way and ended up with
$1. So if the $20 and the $10 was up there, she definitely thought she had the big money in her case.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were playing backwards, you're right. If the rule was...
Wouldn't she know she had a small number, though?
She did. She just didn't know that she had the absolute...
The smallest
wow. ever.
So she played probably because she just said, F it, right?
Yeah, no. And it was great because, you know, the fake guy calling in... The banker.
Yeah, the banker with the big, like, preordained mathematical equation offer that he makes, but he has to call Howie. That show, Jesus, I mean, my God. Yeah, I mean, is it a distraction?
Brilliant, isn't it?
It's brilliant, but it's, Jesus.
It is. Anyway.
Hideous.
Anyway.
Over my head, because I don't like it. I
hate it.
I've stepped on it once or twice, and last night really said, wow, this is pretty great.
See, that would be that you stepped on an anomaly where you actually got a chance to see somebody going in the opposite direction. I watch it. But what I hate is it's the same drill.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how many times are people going to tune in and watch that show? I bought the home version for my kids.
But for a while, when it first came out, didn't you watch it?
I think right away I said it would have a short shelf life because it's just... constant repetition. Yeah, the numbers change, but other than that, yes, you know, pick the case, then you take a number off the board, then they make the offer to you, and it's just... at least with other game shows, you have a little variety to them.
The one thing they are doing that they didn't do with the Regis show is put it on every night of the week, right? I mean, it's only like 3 nights a week.
I mean, dumb game shows can have legs, so I mean, the show might... I mean, obviously, it is a rating success. I get so tired.
No, I agree with you. It's dumb TV at its finest, but a woman winning $1, I like that.
That is funny. Well, that's pretty rare. You know, normally it's like right
the
in the middle of the pack.
So. Yeah. Has anybody ever won the money on that stupid show?
I think somebody won $1 million once.
Right. It might have happened.
I have no idea.
All right, well, don't call us with that. We don't care about it.
Dynamite!
Kind of a rhetorical question.
There was this one time.
All right, now, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Here's what I have heard about Spider-Man. I have heard the following from a lot of people. The effects really suck.
Mm.
That it looks cheesy. Second, it's too much boring love stuff. Third,
that's not what the comic book people want to see.
Kirsten Dunst sings too much in the movie. And no one likes the scene where Tobey Maguire goes into the club and starts dancing.
Okay.
Sounds to me like it's not up my alley.
Yeah.
I'll see it.
You'll see it just to make your own final decision on it. Has this taken away the urgency to see it, though? Obviously don't have a lot of urgency.
Yeah.
So you'll see
bit.
It when you see it, right?
I mean, it was one thing to have it get trashed by the idiots in the newspaper.
Right.
I don't care about that.
You never
but know. When... Yeah. Mike, when my friends from the basement of the science building call and say, listen, number one and number two are great.
You better take your anti-disappointment pills if you're going to sit in the seventh row of this theater. That's for sure, Don, because really, this is an incredible disappointment.
Wow.
I cannot believe that they put this much time and energy into the effort, and then they came out with this piss drivel. I just cannot believe it.
I don't have any more. The email I got from a buddy of mine who's way more into it than I am, but I don't mind. I'm there like 50% with him as far as being a nerd about this stuff.
Right.
It was like, the web-slinging is kept to a minimum. The scenes are very CGI, reminiscent of the bad Star Wars movie with Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks.
It looks to me like they took the special effects and wrapped it around everything else.
When they make a movie like a Spider-Man, is the game plan in place that they're definitely going to do three of them or four of them or five of them? Or do they really sort of see what the lay of the land is and wait to see if it's a hit?
Well, I think now, because we're such saps, if they get something that they think is going to be halfway decent, in the back of their minds they're thinking, hey, if this does a good number at opening weekend, we'll just pile out another one.
Did you go see the when it was in theaters, did you see the movie The Good Shepherd?
Yeah.
With Matt Damon?
Yeah, P.U.
You said that, didn't you? And you said that on the air.
Sucked ass.
I knew it.
It's one of the worst.
You watch it on cable?
I bought the DVD.
Well, you know another problem.
I bought the DVD, and it was just, you know, you wait, and you wait, and you wait. I'm sure this was the same way in the theater. You're waiting for something to happen, and nothing really does happen for the entire... Yes, he's a slave to the CIA. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I was so depressed after that.
Right.
Watched that last night before The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Terrible movie.
Wow. I knew you had said you didn't like it. What an awful lead-in that was for you for The Sopranos.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of bad taste in my mind, and I was really ready to enjoy The Sopranos, and then it was a Sopranos suck fest.
I mean, at least with Deal or No Deal, I was excited.
Your heart rate was up. The high point.
And then The Sopranos comes on.
Yeah.
Please, somebody explain to me. Please. You've only got five left, four left, whatever it was last night. That's the best you can do. The best you can do is AJ crying, and then Christopher shoots the guy from Wings?
Right.
Please.
With no real, even as wasted as he was, you know, even that lacked credibility last night.
Yeah.
When did they decide that they're going to do everything but be a mafia show?
Haven't we always
Jesus.
Haven't you and I always been one of our nitpicks about that show is like, enough with Christopher and his battling of the demons.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
You know, who cares if he drinks or does heroin? Who cares?
And they really almost went over the line completely, turning Tony into some kind of uber wuss.
Right.
They really overdid it last night with him. And I mean, Jesus, it just mopes along, and then it's over, and it really, last week it was the exact same way. There were two or three of them last season,
and
the same way.
I hate saying this because I know that it'll never be resolved, but I'm sure you're like I was at the end going, where's Phil?
Yeah.
Where are all the guys who are in play every week?
And how about the credibility of Christopher throwing a guy and breaking his back, throwing him out a window, then Paulie Walnuts driving across the lawn, and then flash forward to the next scene where they walk over to each other and say, no hard feelings.
Okay.
Have a drink, kid.
Everything's fine.
Give me a break. That is not anything like what that show used to start
on. And for being as smart as, hey, John, we're okay. We got this many more minutes, and we'll hit the mark. Appreciate it. John Norman back there knows what he's doing right now. He's producing his ass off.
Good, right. Good, very good.
Very nice, John. Thank you.
He respects time.
Show that move. Show Mike that move.
Very good. I like that. That's very airline, bring me a jet into the
flashlight.
We're on time here. We're on time here. Now you made me forget what I was going to say.
You were talking about The Sopranos. You were going to talk about something significant with The Sopranos.
What's that?
You were going to talk about
nothing significant. Oh, and do we really need to see AJ in with a shrink?
Crying. That's the moment, the defining moment where I said enough. And AJ in general, who I think really, as far as that ensemble cast, I think he is a barely tolerable actor anyway. You know, and nothing happened again. Who did they shoot? They shot a guy that's
from Wings.
A bit part.
Tim Daly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of BFD. And the other thing I wanted to say, surprise me with a guy who seems to put a show that doesn't fall into cliches when Chris is getting drunk with Paulie.
Mm-hmm.
And they start making jokes like, someday your girl will be dancing in the Bing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's moving in.
Slow motion.
Isn't that like an effect from the worst made-for-TV movie?
Yeah, I mean, they've done that for a million years. They have.
Pox on you, Sopranos.
Four left. I tell you, it's getting to the point. Really, they give me one more of those, and I'm not the go-to on Sunday nights anymore.
Well, there are only four left. So.
I know.
And look at the bright side. At least Tony's cured his gambling problem.
In the previews of Coming Attractions, they allude to that he's back out.
Oh, he's back to that?
Back on that again. Yeah, the only good thing that there were enough girls in the bottom bing where there was a little
you know, a little TNA action.
Yeah, but you know, that doesn't pass anymore. That show's been on long enough now that just seeing girls with their cow teeth at the Bing doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
I mean,
tease or tease.
No, Mike, it counts,
right.
But it don't count.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's not why we're watching.
Yeah, and also that, I don't know. There's so many flaws in it. It's very, and then all of a sudden the gratuitous violence that was just shoehorned in there for absolutely no reason. I didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense. Yeah, Christopher's effed up again. Okay, big deal.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey there.
Hey, how you doing? Wanted to see if you guys would be interested in a charity strip poker tournament.
A charity strip poker?
Yeah, it's, you ever, I know you guys have, part of those bar crawls where you go to each bar and you get a card, and then whoever has the best hand at the end of the night.
You've done that.
Yeah, like a poker run. I've done that on the water, on the,
yeah,
on the boats.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's just like that, but you have to give a piece of clothing to get each card.
No, I'm sorry. I gave everything I had to Idol Gives Back.
What's that?
I gave everything I have to Idol Gives Back.
Yeah, and I'm a practicing nudist, and that's really not what we do.
Oh, well, I'm sorry about that.
That's good luck, though.
All right, thank you.
You know what I say? Down to charity. Hi, Don and Mike show.
It's a controversial stance.
Awfully good.
Because they're all fake. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I have a suggestion for Buzz for his card playing.
Nothing will help, but what's your suggestion?
Well, I think what you should do is you should think of the different combinations of cards as different combinations of swinging partners.
Like a guy named Jack, okay, and his queen.
That's right.
I'd like to try it. It could be
a king.
Like Larry King.
A king. Hey, boy.
Hey, boy, there, boy. How about
hey,
that?
Boy. Hey, there, Buzz. Discard me there, boy.
How about that five-card stud?
Hey, there, Buzz.
Whoa.
You're working on inside straight there, huh, boy?
Ooh, there. The GLM cards. Yeah, there. We went ever, ever, ever.
Yeah,
big,
yeah,
big, big. Bigger than big.
Yeah,
bigger than big,
yeah,
big,
boy,
big,
yeah,
big.
Yeah,
bang,
yeah,
bang, bang, oh, bang, oh, bang.
Oh, Spider-Man, Sopranos.
Always like, always like cards. Always like to play them.
Got a break.
Got in trouble once.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Came here today to tell you, in all seriousness, that I'm done. I did what you said. I gave it a lot of thought, and I decided that once and for all, it's over. The truth is, this therapy is a jerk-off. You know it, and I know it.
I actually don't know it, but please continue.
It's a jerk-off.
The Don and Mike Show. Celebrating 20 years of genius. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, hi, everybody. We're back.
Hi, everybody.
And I love it when I get a tap on the shoulder as we're on the air saying, hey, I got to take my headphones off. We were playing whatever that tape
was. Well, what happened just then? I wasn't paying attention. What was the deal? What was he saying to you?
Well, we were supposed to have a guest on now, which is why everybody was giving me the break, break, break sign.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you saw the light ring. And
yeah,
then right as we are going on the air, Rob touches my shoulder and I take my headphones off. And he says, the guy's not there. The guy won't be there for how long?
5 minutes behind. We need to wait 4 minutes
now. How long of a window do we have with this particular fella?
This I don't know.
Does anybody know?
John would know.
Why don't you ask the producer?
Well, because this guy was acting like he knew what was going on. I mean, I was pointing to Robbie. Hey, John.
I was told we got him at 4:15. I was not given a window, so I'm not sure we're under the gun for time. I was not told that we were under the gun for time.
Okay, we'll move on.
We'll press on. We were both, getting... We get a little revved up when we get a guest,
sure,
you know, and now we're pros, though. We'll move forward and do what
boy.
We do. Yeah, there, you know.
Yeah, boy, we're pros, there,
and
boy.
Absolutely destroy them.
Yeah, boy, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so...
boy, that's rare, though, that you get it that... I mean, boy.
Boy.
Boy, there, boy.
Boy, there, boy.
To get it, like, right as the... I mean, you just opened your mouth.
No idea. No idea. Okay. Well,
all right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah, boy. Okay.
Sure.
Yep. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I like him.
I do, too.
Let's see what
I don't watch him enough, the guy, but I like him.
Let's see what happens. I don't know. It was one of those deals, they've only got 10 minutes and they're on like a satellite or something.
Mm-hmm.
That normally sucks.
Right.
Well, the guy we're talking about is Craig Ferguson.
Oh, yeah, 10 minutes is fine, don't you think? We're with him. I mean, that would be, you know, I wish we had more.
I really, the reason that we did this whole nutty break thing was...
Because he only had 10 minutes.
No. The thought that we had to hit it right at that time so we could have him for...
The whole time.
An elongated period of time.
Oh.
Like, I know when Bergeron, buddy... Is finally going to be on
phone's
the show.
Ringing. I'll bet there that's him. I'll bet we have him for a while.
When Bergeron Buddy's on the show on Thursday, John has already talked personally to Tom Bergeron. He will give us at least 30 minutes.
Oh, wonderful. We can really get into his soul.
Of his undivided time.
That'll be delightful. Okay, the soul of Bergeron.
Here he is now, everybody. Craig Ferguson. Hey, Craig.
Oh, hold on just 1 second. I'm getting for you.
Oh, it's a person. It's one of his peeps.
Craig will be right with you.
One of his people.
Oh crap! That was
oh,
me.
Oh dear!
Did you hang up?
I did not mean to. That was me.
A little button problem.
That is my fault. That's me.
It's Monday.
Dumbass. Me, dumbass.
There it is.
Oh, look at the phone ring.
Hey, it's really calling right back. Sometimes that doesn't always happen. This is fun.
Is it him yet, or his girl? Yeah,
they're getting him right now.
They're getting him again. He's a very busy man.
There he is. There he is. Now, hello. Craig?
Hello?
There you are.
Hello.
Hello. Craig Ferguson, worth the wait, everybody.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you, Craig?
Well, you know, how am I? In all honesty, I feel a little vulnerable today.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm just a little vulnerable. I'm secular like that. Vulnerable, but still masculine.
You're feeling sensitive.
That's right. I don't know what it is. I'm a little weepy.
That made me laugh right away.
We can all be femme if you want.
Yeah. We're in touch with our feminine side. We're sensitive guys.
It's masculine weepiness. So I'm concerned about Paris. I'm concerned about, you know, everything that's going on. It's a worry.
You know, Craig, if it can happen to Paris, it can happen to anyone. It really can.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the place, not the person.
No. I'm not concerned about Paris, the place. Yeah. I'm concerned about... Well, you know, didn't America used to be about rags to riches? That's why I came. it's in reverse these days. Everyone's like rich, successful, and then completely trashes their life. What the hell is going on?
Speaking of weepy, she was awfully weepy over
the
weekend.
We should take a moment to talk about, of course, this is Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
Everybody who knows the Late Late Show on CBS.
And wonderful show.
He will be here in D.C. at the Warner Theater on July 14th.
Cool. You know, when you're I've watched your show so many times, but you know, when you're at that time of the evening, you know, I don't know a lot about you personally. I see you on TV all the time, but I didn't even know that you get out there and do stand up. This is obviously stand up. You're going to do how long a show do you do?
Well, about an hour and a bit. I don't know, an hour and 15, depends on what the hell I'm talking about. It's kind of, that's how I started out when back in the old country about 20 years ago, I was a stand up. So it's kind of what I've really done. It's what brought me here in the first place, and then I ended up working as an actor. But it's really what I always did. It's certainly, I wasn't a late night talk show host. I've never really even thought about doing that until they offered me the job here.
You know, and about that, Craig, when that job came up, everybody, myself included, scratched our heads and went, "Oh, you mean the guy from Drew Carey?"
No, me too. I thought really Alf the alien puppet might be a safer choice.
But get ready for some suckling here, because you're goddamn good, sir. And what I like about you is the fact that it appears that you don't take yourself as seriously as some of the other cats who have had a gig like that before. I appreciate the fact, as a viewer, that you just sit down, and if you've had a bad day, you say, "Hey, I've had a bad day," or "Let's talk about this," or "Let's do this." It is a refreshing look at television.
Well, thank you. I mean, the model for me on this is really more about the way that radio is done, or date. Like, you watch how Regis does daytime TV. Do you know what I mean? It's like someone gets him mad, he talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so it's trying to combine that with late night sensibilities and with a kind of stand-up sensibility. That that's really how it came about. I mean, thanks. The thing is, I tried at first to read a bunch of gags from the teleprompter, and it drove me crazy, you know, because I'm reading these gags, and I'm thinking, well, that isn't very funny. Why is anyone laughing at that? And then I would say that out loud, and that would get more of a laugh than actually the joke itself. And so it was the bits in between the gags that finally became the show.
You know, when I'm watching you, you occasionally make reference to the fact that you did party, you used to party, and you don't party anymore. Is that the way? Because when I see you, I always say, he does look like a guy that'd be like a lot of fun to go out and you know, and have a couple of beers with, and you know,
and that's true. I'm good for about a couple of beers, but after a couple of beers, it's a conga line to a jail in Mexico where we all get tattoos. You know, I mean, for me, it was about striking the balance of you know. I mean, I don't drink anymore, but I think after the, you know, once you stop shaking, after that, you learn how to party without actually partying. If you know what I mean.
I understand.
Oh well, no one likes a quitter, Greg.
Well, that's right. And it's funny, I go back to the old country, my own drinking buddies there, I go to the bar, and I'll sit down for, you know, about 90 minutes to 2 hours, we have a great time, and the crack is great, and everybody's talking, and then they start to repeat themselves, and once they go into reruns, I leave.
Yeah. That's a good cue.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Well, as soon as the reruns start, I go, all right, fellas, I'll see you tomorrow.
That is a great way to do it, because that is the key. When you see somebody who's really loaded, they're going to go with the same thing again and again and again.
Over and over and over again.
How would you grade yourself on doing the show? You've done it now for a while, and as you mentioned, it took you a while to find your own spot there. How do you think you're doing?
I think I'm doing okay. I think there's a long way to go. I think that, you know, it changes from night to night. On some nights I'd give myself a D, and some nights I'd give myself, you know, a B. I wouldn't go above a B plus. Yeah, I don't think.
Never one straight A show. A show that you got done with the guests, with the monologue, with everything, where you just said this was a home run.
Well, you know, there would still be me in it, and that's going to bring it down a little bit.
Can you tell it, because you are honest, and who's the biggest dick you've had on the show, the celebrity that you thought would be a good interview, down-to-earth, nice person, whatever?
And even if you might think they're a nice person, someone who just, it was more labor than you expected it to be.
Do you honestly think, as a professional broadcaster, I'm going to answer that question with any degree of honesty?
Yes. We've been doing this for a long time.
This is great. If anybody asks us, our answer is going to be you.
Well, I'll take the notoriety.
All right. Well, then, without giving a name,
there have been a couple of people that maybe I've thought about halfway through the interview. I thought, you know, you're really on the wrong show. I think maybe I know. I don't think she's a bad person. I don't know her, but like when Tara Reid was on, I was halfway through the interview and I'm thinking, what the hell am I talking to you for?
You know, boy, are you? You know what that is? That's the honesty bell.
Thank you.
The honesty bell. Which goes off when you speak the truth, right?
Thank you. Well, the thing is, now I don't know the girl, and I don't want to talk smack about her, but I just
don't have to, sir. You said a name, and I think we all know.
What is the best thing and worst thing about doing a late night television show? I mean, I would think that there have to be some frustrations with, you know, being on at that hour because you're famous, but you're not as famous. It's a little different when you have that kind of notoriety.
I think that I'm plenty famous for me. I don't need to be any more famous than I am now. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at how, you know, fame used to be something that people, you know, kind of aspire to it. I think they still aspire to it, but it's treated like it's criminal. Like, you know, people follow you around and watch what you're doing and stuff like that. I don't want any of that. I'm good where I am. And you know, I make the show about, you know, 5-6 o'clock every day,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes out. So what time it goes out at night doesn't really concern me that much. I guess it's better to be on at 12:30 because I'm sure I get away with a little more censorship wise than I would at 11:30. You know, and so for that I'm grateful. I'm really okay with it. The best thing and the worst thing about it, to answer your question, I think, is the same thing, which is you have to do it every day. So if you do one that you think is really terrific, you know, the bad news is you still have to do another one tomorrow. But if you do a really bad one, the good news is you get another crack at it tomorrow.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, in that way, it's like baseball. You know,
yeah.
You strike out, you go play the next day. How American have you become since you've moved over here and been involved in our media? How much of us has crept into you?
I think I think a law, I mean, I think I'm kind of like a convert. You know, when someone becomes a Catholic in later life, they feel they have to be extra Catholic, more Catholic than regular Catholics that grew up Catholic. So they talk in Irish accents and go the Holy Father and all that. I'm kind of like that with America. I'm super patriotic about America because I've got that 19th century immigrant throwback thing going on. You know, I mean, this is a new country and a new chance. And I'm really unapologetic about that. I mean, I absolutely get that there are political problems and nightmares in this country, but I still buy the dream and the idea, and I'm all for it.
And your father passed away. Was it last year, Craig, that your dad passed away? Was that it?
What's that, sorry?
Did your dad pass away last year?
Last year, yeah.
I got to say, I happened to tune in that night, and I without question, I found that one of the most compelling, just the way you handled that. I thought it was absolutely beautiful, and I know a lot of people that have been through the same thing. I lost my dad a while ago. I mean, felt the same way. It really was, it wasn't sappy, it wasn't syrupy, but it was just really from the heart, and that had to be I would imagine that was kind of hard to do.
It was hard to do, but I think knowing, you know, my dad as I did, and of course I did, he would have said go to work, you know, and what I tried to do was be honest about who he was and what my relationship was to him. And because, you know, it was kind of funny like that as well. I couldn't go out and tell a bunch of gags and hide it. That would have been dishonest. And the other way, I didn't want to go on and, you know, and play soft music and go, my dad was the greatest guy who ever lived. I mean, he was to me, but, you know, you didn't know him. And so what happened was that, you know, I just tried to tell the truth about it. And what was funny was afterwards, I mean, it got so much attention, that thing. And I got a couple of psychics from New York.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of got in touch with me and said, you know, we could help you get, you know, communicate with your dad. And I'm like, you know, we hardly talked to each other when he was alive. You know, so some self-deluded media whore from the Upper West Side ain't going to improve things between two Scotsmen.
Craig, obviously you have stumbled upon the recipe, but when you said, like, the reason you like Regis, when Mike brought up the thing about your dad, that's exactly what set your show apart, and you should never let go of that. I'm the same way. I watch old man Regis every morning only because I know how tough it is to sit there and fill 20 minutes. And you know that old bastard, he's got no jokes ready. He's just coming out, and it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he's winging it.
Oh, yeah. No, I talked to him about it. I said, how did you develop this? And he said, I couldn't afford any writers. No one gave me any writers. And then, of course, he talks for 20 minutes about not having any writers.
And, like, for instance, when Mike mentioned the thing with your dad, there would be some guys, we'll mention a name like Jay Leno, who I don't think could handle it.
Yeah.
A guy like Letterman, who we like a lot, respect, who would handle it a little differently.
A little more probably reserved. I mean, just a little more controlled, I would think.
You did bring down everything and talk to, and that's the main thing. Talk to the viewers, not down to them. Talk at them, saying, look, I had a crappy day today.
Yeah.
My dad died. I want to talk about my dad. Totally get that.
And I get the impression, I mean, you get to do what you want to do on that show. You don't get a lot of interference from the suits so far. I mean, are they letting you do what you want to do?
Almost all the time. I mean, if there's anything, it's a word here and there. I mean, what they do is, and you mentioned the guy that made that possible for me, who is David, of course. David's production company owns the show, and David Letterman is my boss.
Right.
So the power that Dave has, and also the relationship that he has with Les Moonves and with CBS, it's, you know, they trust each other creatively. I don't know if anybody in show business trusts each other, you know, financially, but they trust each other creatively. And so I get to do this, you know. I mean, it was an environment really created by Dave, you know.
The only thing that I think could possibly help your career would be if you pulled a Hugh Laurie and if you could maybe learn how to speak American. I mean, that would pull you over the top, because I can't tell you how many people, you watch House, and then you say, first off, you say, that's the guy from Stuart Little, and they go, no way. And then you say, now, listen to him talk in his real voice, and he sounds like you.
Are you able to pull off the American accent?
No, right? And I have no interest in doing it. What I'm working on is an Austrian accent, because I want to be governor of California.
You're a good guy. Are you married?
I've been married a couple of times. And
how many?
It was sensational. Twice.
Twice, and currently single?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I mean, I would say doing what you do. I mean, that'd be a nice way to meet women.
I never had a problem meeting women before I had this job. That wasn't something I lacked confidence in.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Do you get laid a lot doing that show?
Not so much.
Well, I mean, it's like, let's say you're on a layover in Wichita, you know, and some some cow comes up to you at the airport and goes, oh, you're that guy. And, you know, you've got like a six-hour layover. Do you take her across the street to the Econo Lodge? And
I can't last 6 hours. I'm 45 years old. What is wrong with you?
Well, we love your show. We really do. You're fantastic.
Thank you.
You're a very funny man and blah, blah, blah. Warner Theater, July 14th. You know.
Absolutely.
Craig Ferguson, and we'll have the information on our website at donandmikewebsite.com. Been a pleasure having you on. You're a very good broadcaster.
And thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy the show.
Take care, Craig.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know. Hey, you got to do that in the Scottish section.
You know.
You know.
Man, he really does look like he's found his niche. I'd love to see his stand-up, because I'd like to see him work a little dirtier.
And I
hope he works a little dirtier.
I'm sure he does.
I really do.
I'm sure, like a lot of people, when he was on Drew Carey, it was like,
You know,
sometimes he'd have a funny scene, and sometimes you get, well, that's the whole thing with the whole Drew Carey show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole show is like,
I mean, they were good together. They had their little moments. Then you have the guy that wears the tutu now for whatever commercial it is. Mm. I forgot what commercial.
Snackwell.
Ryan. What is it?
Snackwell.
Snackwells, yes.
The other guy who was Jethro in the Bad Beverly Hillbillies movie.
That guy. I haven't seen him anywhere since Drew Carey.
Does he pop up occasionally?
Yeah, right. And then there's the other guy with the giraffe neck who was very funny. I'm very frustrated because these are some talented people.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were on that other Drew Carey show.
The Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you don't see him anymore. You don't see a lot of those guys.
What about Baby? About Mimi? Yeah.
Mimi.
What's her name, Robbie?
Kathy Kenny.
Yeah.
Hot as balls.
Hot as balls.
Hot
as sweaty balls.
Shreddy. Shreddy.
Shreddy balls. What is it that Alec Baldwin?
I think what I'm most proud of is my balls. We're here with Paul Schwetti. I think his name was Paul Schwetti. I might have the first name wrong, but I'm not sure. He was also in The Good Shepherd, looking old.
Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin. He was fat. Yes, he was fat. Fat Alec.
To show you how bad that movie is.
Oh, I was so bummed that I wasted my time.
Good show. This morning on the Today Show, they, of course, I don't know why they feel the need to send Al Roker to that part of Kansas that got wiped out by the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the frick is he going to do?
Help clean up.
Go down there and say,
rebuild.
Hey, somebody eat a piece of my stomach or something.
How close are you to that neck of the woods?
That town that got wiped out about three quarters of the way to Dodge City from Wichita. It's really more western central Kansas. Okay.
But they have, here's my point on this. They've got him walking around and he's saying, oh, this is sad, blah, blah, blah. Here's a video store. And he holds up to show that even the people that like would walk by and maybe not loot, but thinking about picking up something on the ground, he said, look, even right here in the video store, here's a copy of The Good Shepherd. And I thought, even after a tornado, that somebody walking by wouldn't pick up that piece of crap.
I knew it. It was just so long ago. I waited so long to see it on DVD that I remembered that you had said it was crap. I should have called you and said, isn't this real garbage?
Larry King said, the quote was, the best CIA movie ever, boy.
No, nobody's that dry.
Yeah, boy.
I don't care how you know.
Big,
cold
big, big, bigger than big,
yeah,
bigger than big,
yeah,
big,
yeah,
big,
boy.
Big.
Nobody's
bang,
that
bang,
dry.
Bang, bang, bang.
Except for Gladys Kravitz. She may be that dry.
Dry, boy.
Dry there, boy. Boy, he was dry, yeah.
Whoa.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Yowza.
You know.
And I can tell you it's a privilege to be back. I'll be talking to y'all soon.
Hey,
F-Stick. How are you, F-Stick? No surprise there. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. You're where you belong.
Want to hear it one more time?
You hump? Yes, absolutely.
Roger Clemens?
Mm-hmm.
Even though you'd be peeing your pants if you signed with the Red Sox, right?
I would, of course, yeah. Well, they came and got me out of Texas, and I can tell you it's a privilege to be back. I'll be talking to y'all soon.
Yay.
Yeah. Good luck.
The vagina.
Good luck, Roger.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I cause dry mouth, mood swings, and nighttime kookiness.
Hot swings!
Mood swings.
swing.
Mood swing. Mood swing?
Mood swings.
Mood swing. Mood swing.
Let them prey on you, Don and Mike.
You know.
He prefers to be treated like a dog and also a toilet.
Listen, Craig Ferguson was great.
Yeah,
very nice
interview. I like that guy.
Really good guy. As long as we're on the topic now, and we're not bashing the producer today, because John has really pulled his game together since that helpful little pep talk he had last week.
Uh-huh.
I think a groovy guest. Now, this is just in the world of people I would like to talk to. I know that we've thrown out some, like Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what the frig would I say to him, besides I'd like to give you a prostate exam. Mm-hmm. Brian Wilson had the just talking personally.
Yes.
I think, and what made me think of it is he's also got the accent. Ricky Gervais, if you ever get that guy, John, you're the producer.
Wow.
You're the man. Because that guy's funny as balls.
He sure is.
He's the guy. He made up The Office.
Mm-hmm. In Britain.
It's his office that ran on BBC America
right.
that got Frieda into the office that was on here.
Mm-hmm. And is he in the office over there?
Yeah,
or?
He's the Steve Carell of The Office.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But
I know I'd know him if I saw him.
In the UK,
mm-hmm.
The guy is he's a combination of Mikey's a triple threat.
Okay.
He's funny. And he's funny.
Right.
And he's funny.
And speaking of Ricky's, if we're on the subject, I'd love to interview Ricky Schroeder. or Rick, whatever he's going by
Ricky,
this particular week.
Now.
He's back to being Ricky,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The guy's a very cool Jerry Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
If Jerry Seinfeld could ever stop being Jerry Seinfeld, Rob, stop it.
You don't like that.
Thank you, Rob. He's a modern-day Benny Hill.
Tribute to the late Benny Hill.
That's right.
Great British.
And you just, whenever I think Benny Hill, I just want to hit my forehead. Quack, like that.
Like that.
It never gets funny. Never gets old there.
Yeah, boy.
Benny Hill there.
So you play the tape fast of you running in and out of rooms, and you're wearing, like, police costumes, and girls show their bosoms.
And then they play this song.
There it is.
That's funny, boy.
Yeah, boy.
You know, thanks for playing that Roger Clemens clip. You know, it was the fitting end of between that end of the weekend with bad news as far as the Floyd Mayweather fight sucking so bad that I paid for, losing my golf match on Saturday, and then the cherry on the Sunday, Roger Clemens signing with the New York Yankees. It was one of those weekends.
The fact that that your boy Roger signed with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Okay, understand that.
They need him more.
The fact that you...
I sound arrogant saying that. It doesn't fit. Of course, I would have liked to get him.
The fact that you paid for that fight, well, you know, if I could have stayed up, I would have too.
But... Yeah, it just was a drag. I'd just like to see a little bit more action. That's all I want. Everybody said the same thing about the fight.
However, boy, your Saturday golf match that you were playing...
My fault.
That was...
My fault entirely.
That was because you had... A massive Friday night.
I did in a surprisingly massive Friday night. Mm. I tried to gear my Friday night.
After saying on the air that you specifically because you felt bad about David Hasselhoff.
Right.
You were not going to
not
drink.
Going to do that.
I'm going to stop.
I
promise?
Yeah.
No.
Yes?
This is a mess.
A mess. You know, in a way, I said that on the air, and these are the ABCs of me. This is what makes me, what some people have described as complicated. That I said that about David. Well, inside my own brain, I was going, no, that actually was motivating me. You know, it was Friday night,
I understand. So while you were saying, I'm not going to be that way, on the other hand, this...
I'll be fine.
Yeah. In some ways, was calling out your name.
Yeah, didn't he look like he was having fun eating that Wendy's hamburger?
Really a lot.
didn't he look like he didn't have a care in the world?
That's right.
He really, really did.
That's got to be a one-of-a-kind take of anybody in the whole freaking world.
I'm looking at a man that doesn't have a care in the world.
Michael,
a man that's able to comfortably eat his burger on the floor. He has handlers there that are serving him.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'll be fine.
Tell me you're
going to
stop.
I'm going to stop.
Comment?
No.
Yes? Good. I like to hear.
I think conservatively, Friday morning, got up about 8:30. Didn't have to play until 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Saturday morning.
Got up early at about 8 o'clock. Didn't have to play until 1. I conservatively probably had about 150 glasses of water. Just and drinking it medicinally, drinking it throughout the morning.
The flushing system.
Not that I was enjoying it. Not that I was craving water, but just I really felt I needed to get that taken care of. And I really was feeling better by tea time, but I'm not the kind of guy that can go out there like John Daly and, have a night the night before and then even function. I can't. I cannot play golf with any kind of hangover at all. I can't. I'm not able to play at all.
What was the poison on Friday night? not just one?
The poison, like singular? There's a little bit of everything.
Where did it start?
The knee bones connected to the thigh. It had to start with beer.
Yes. Yeah, it started with beer.
Can we guess the next move?
Would you like to guess the flavor of beer? I don't need you to guess that, so don't worry about that. But as far as, it started with beer.
And I'm going to say...
And I will tell you that I initiated... The next move.
Now,
I hate to keep jumping forward.
No. Give me a hint.
You know how it works. These thoughts pop into my head.
Give me a hint.
I walk into my place at about 9:30. Now, sometimes I can
look around cafe.
Sometimes I can walk in there and there's nobody that I know from my group of friends that's hanging out there. And I'll just sort of, go back, maybe hang out in the office, chill out a little bit, kind of have a mellow evening. Unfortunately, as soon as I walked in, two of my regular drinking buddies are sitting over there by themselves.
Hi, Norm.
At a table. I got Norm and I got Cliff that are sitting there, at the table. And that right away.
Beer.
And they've been there longer, so it's kind of the catch-up game. They have a head start. And because I wanted to catch up, I initiated taking it to the next level.
Okay, now here are my choices as far as I look at it. You will not go to whiskey, I believe, this early.
No.
It could be one of those.
And whiskey is something that I will go to. If I'm going to do that, it's just I'm going to hang out and do that through the evening. I'm usually not going to throw that in the middle of the evening.
You would start with whiskey.
I would start with whiskey. And when that happens, see people seriously running for cover.
If you get on a binge, you could go on some of those shooters you like so bad. Or it could be... Wine is normally the fifth or sixth, or it could be. I'm going to go wild card. Second step was vodka. That you went right from beer to vodka.
Give yourself the bell.
Give yourself the bell.
And that's the second step that is usually. Let me catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Let me catch up. Because normally I really don't do that as much as I used to. Normally I'll have the little foo-foo ones, the little good tasting little things,
right.
The redheaded sluts.
That's the
one I like, and that's but the thing was the vodka was just a little knockback, a little vodka.
All right, so was there a third after vodka?
There was probably a redheaded slut somewhere.
So the foo-foo
in the course
was
of
after that, and
foo-foo,
then,
but it was beer throughout the evening.
Did you back it off to wine at any point?
No, never
to
wine.
Beer, vodka,
it was. If you're talking about in order of significance, it was beer. It was beer, beer, beer. It was beer, and it was something where I felt that I would be okay, and then it's lack of rest also because for whatever reason they say it's a depressant, don't they?
Yeah,
but
they lie, Mike.
Even long
on my second beer.
Stop it now.
Long after we got home, it was just not wanting to go to sleep and, surfing the net, watching TV, and as each, and I get up at 8 o'clock no matter what, and so I got up at 8 o'clock in the morning with very little sleep, and, just really, and my playing partner, my friend sees me when I walk up there and is like, oh, great, because you know me, I really can't fake it, it's kind of written all over my face. I mean, if I've really had myself an evening.
Had an idea.
And he's like, oh, great, because he knows immediately he's going to lose money unless he has his career round of golf. So I apologize to him, too. But it was fun. It wasn't as much fun as I wanted to have.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of an weekend.
What time did you go to bed?
On probably 3 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Okay, I'm going to guess, you probably won't be able to remember.
How many?
beers. Just beers.
Oh, I have no idea.
Just beers.
I couldn't tell you.
10?
No, about 100. No, yeah, somewhere thereabouts.
Like
yeah, something like that. Yeah, and now, right now, people that are working there are probably going, oh! No, I wasn't there.
What number would they give?
I don't know. You know, they all kind of run together.
Uh-huh.
And I don't finish all of them.
That's right. Yeah.
They get lost. So it was...
You got to leave some for the fans.
But you know what, really? You know, the Irish love of the drink, you know, my love of the drink is conflicting with... I'm trying to get back into the... They don't go together. If I'm going to get... I don't care if it's 1 o'clock
Harp
or 8:30 a.m. Harp says, if I'm going to play on Saturday and play in these money games, be like that. Shut up.
Sure he does.
You.
I thought of something funny.
Big Otto over there. Big Otto unhinging his jaw. Hey, they're not gonna work together. They're not gonna work together. I gotta make a choice. Gotta make a choice when I'm playing on the weekend. It's all or nothing. It's Friday. It's Friday. I didn't feel like quitting. I didn't feel like going up and having a sip, a little taste, and saying, good night, everybody. And that's what I probably should have done. I think my whole weekend would have been better.
Yeah.
I had the whole day to myself, basically, on Saturday.
See?
Carla was off with her grandma, some birthday thing, and they were off doing that. So I was fine. But see, they were coming over and meeting at our house to go off to Charlestown. That was the afternoon of going up to the slot machines with the grandmother. So I went out and at 9 o'clock in the morning, filled the car up with gas. Went to the
same beer.
Well, I feel
the car.
Fortunately, I rolled the windows down because I filled the car up with gas also, and got a little bouquet of flowers for Carla's grandmother because it was her birthday trip. And came back, and that was the problem. If people are, since they were rallying at my house, I had to be kind of up and functioning. And normally I could probably just be a derelict until, say, 10:30 in the morning, and I would have been fine.
So it's not your fault.
So you think that extra 2 hours is what killed you on Saturday?
I would have been in Russia, but if I could have managed just to be lying around for an extra 2 hours with not having to function at all, it probably would have saved me, but it didn't. It was just, it was too much, and it was sneaky too much. I mean, I realized that I'd had a little too much when I woke up in the morning. A la David Hasselhoff, I'm sure when he wakes up in the morning.
I'm going to stop.
Yeah. And I wish sometimes that I would sound like that, because if I sounded like that, I may be able to get away with some of the things that I say.
And let's play our Hasselhoff remix.
Okay, please.
Are you all right?
What?
Are you all right, Michael?
I'll be fine.
I took the liberty of scanning your vital signs. Your blood pressure is 190 over 120, and your pulse is 104.
Who said?
If I may be so bold, what on earth were you doing down there?
I'll be fine.
You can't be serious, Michael.
I'll be fine.
I suggest you keep your ample derriere off my hood.
I'm going to stop.
I'm sorry, Michael. I have nothing to say. I beg your pardon. How demeaning.
Shut.
Don't touch Turbo Boost. Something tells me you shouldn't touch Turbo Boost.
Have you?
Unforgivable.
Have you? Unbull.
Very funny.
I have you. Never do.
Very well. Doesn't he ever give up?
On hotel. This is a mess.
I see your point.
Unbull.
Oh, shut up.
You.
Not now, Michael. I have a headache.
Incredible!
I love that.
Give you a headache. Last night on E! Exclamation Point, where Ryan Seacrest has one of his 8,000 jobs. Mm-hmm. Did you know he has an interview show?
Yeah, and I don't know how he finds the time to do all of it. I mean, it's amazing. You see him sometimes. He looks like he's been rode hard and put up wet.
Yeah. Really anyway, he had the Hoff on. And the Hoff now says he never asked his daughter to videotape him.
Mm. So what is the Hoff's point on that? That he got screwed? That somebody leaked this to embarrass him a la Alec Baldwin?
What he's saying is that his daughter came up with the idea herself.
Oh, okay.
That it wasn't his idea and that she did it to tape it and show it to him.
Yeah.
And now he's saying, I'm paraphrasing this because I saw it last night. It was right before the woman... The thing is, I'm stuck on the fact that woman won a dollar on Deal or No Deal. That was so great.
That's what motivated you last night.
That was so great. Because it was on at the same time.
The press release when David Hasselhoff came out was saying that he was proud of his kid for doing this. I mean, he was grateful, and has he changed his tune?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, God, that's not good.
Yeah, he's changed it now to say the daughter videotaped him. He did not know that she was going to do it.
Right.
She did it to show him how awful he is.
Right.
He learned from it, and then he went on to say about what a bitch's wife is.
See, that's right. It almost seems like it's in the same category of the Alex Baldwin.
Yeah.
You are never to blame.
For the drunk
you are never
Nobody's thinking
to blame.
It.
I'm going to stop. You are never to blame.
I'll be fine.
You are never to blame.
Yeah.
You know, you sometimes think guys like that, David Hasselhoff, Alec Baldwin, maybe the public humiliation do you think it gets them to take a step backwards? Maybe from what they're saying, it doesn't. It doesn't have an impact. They just get more bitter.
Yeah, the thing is, we got to look at it from different angles. Alec Baldwin is a star.
Mm-hmm.
Hasselhoff's a joke.
Right.
I mean, Hasselhoff is a punchline in like an Adam Sandler movie. At least at this point, Alec Baldwin, when he gets his S together,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like we played those tapes of him in the cooler. He's not bad in the cooler.
Right.
He was in that mafia movie with Jack Nicholson that was out.
Departed.
Right.
Right. And sober. But insofar as they are both public figures, I mean, they're both recognizable. You walk into an airport, you're going to recognize Alec Baldwin and David Hasselhoff. So they are public figures.
Yeah, actually, you're probably going to recognize David Hasselhoff before you recognize Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, what was the original question? Because I had an answer.
Do you think that the public humiliation has an impact on these guys? Do you think that's the way to get to them?
On Alec Baldwin, yes, because people take him more seriously. Hasselhoff, no, because he's David Hasselhoff.
Well, that is, I mean, I think that really, I get the impression that his 16-year-old kid took that videotape as an absolute last resort.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that, I mean, now the release of it, I don't know how that worked, but it would seem to me, even if it was the 16-year-old that did that, they're thinking, the only way that I'm going to get my dad to really wake up, because he values his image so much. After he made that call from the plane where he called 911, he was on the shows the next day, the talk shows talking about it. This is the only way you're going to get this guy to really admit that he's got this problem. That's the impression I got. And now it sounds like he's even pulling off of that.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to worry now, because now we're all fixated on Paris Hilton.
Right.
I mean, this is the way it works. Now that Don Imus is saying, God damn, how come Alec Baldwin couldn't have done that 3 days earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Alec Baldwin's saying, how come Hasselhoff couldn't have done that? Hasselhoff is saying, how come Paris Hilton could have been thrown in jail?
But Paris Hilton is doing the same thing that those guys have done with the blame thing, because she fired her publicist, and she's blaming her publicist for this.
Here's a great tape of Paris Hilton.
Hi, Paris.
How are you feeling, Paris?
Yesterday, I feel that I was treated unfairly, and that this
sentence is both cruel
and
important. What about the vagina?
We know that.
You're always great with us, Paris. We love you.
Do you have hair in your special place?
Anyway, that's
another good counseling that she's getting to come out and diss the judge who gave you the sentence. That you know, not realizing the judge can maybe add to that sentence when she goes before him again.
And what's great about her is that she stands there and goes in court. She goes, "Well, like, I don't open my mail. Like, I have people to open my mail. Like, how am I supposed to know if I'm wanted for arrest? Because like, I have people to, like, judge. Like, don't you understand?
You know what I was thinking when I heard her say that." She has people open her mail. She's also got enough money to have people drive her.
That's right.
I mean, really, talk about somebody who doesn't need to drive.
So that's 45 days.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's enough.
Would you love being in that women's prison? How'd you like to be big dyke like our friend Cheryl? Can you imagine if a piece of meat like Paris Hilton was coming in to a jail with our friend Cheryl the big dyke?
And you know, there is no celebrity rule when it comes to jail. I mean, they're not going to make any special exceptions
especially
for Paris Hilton.
Hey, I saw that tape. You're going to need some protection in here, little girl.
And that's how the women in prison talk, too.
Do you think there's any way she's going to be able to dodge this?
No.
It sounds like this is a done deal. June 5th, that's when she's supposed to report to the WHO scout.
If she wants, she can get out of the way now. If she just you know, got off her ass and went in.
Yeah, but she's going to wait because I saw pictures of her shopping with her mother.
Got a pack for jail.
She's got a pack for jail. This will, though, when it's all said and done, this will help her again. This will make her more famous.
She'll get another show, maybe.
She might get another show.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, you know, David Hasselhoff, that little crying guy, wore that hand brace all last year with that brandy, you know, and remember he said he slipped and fell while taking a bath. So,
remember that awful, hand, yeah, the guy's right,
like the carpal tunnel thing that he was wearing?
Yeah, it's like,
exactly.
Whenever you go into a 7-Eleven and the guy's got that thing on his wrist and it just looks like it smells like the inside of your shoe.
Oh, last week on the access road, somebody had, one of the ladies that was taking my change, giving me change back, had a Band-Aid that was falling off.
Yeah,
gross.
When he was a judge on that, the America's Got No Talent show, mm-hmm. for a while, he came out with that weird thing on his hand.
He's bandaged or whatever.
He kept saying that it was from a bath. You know, he slipped and fell in the bath in Las Vegas. So, you know, you got to love TMZ. All right, buddy. We'll see you later.
All right, bye, buddy. I don't know why you wanted to plug TMZ, but go ahead. Is that guy coming on the show, John, that TMZ guy?
He's a busy man. We had him nailed down for Friday, and then he blew us off. I'm still working on it for later in the week, yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Hey, how we doing on BB for tomorrow?
Oh, he's done. 4:15.
Oh, good. Good, good.
All right.
Good. Bobby Bacala tomorrow.
Oh, I thought it was Bad Billy Warner. Okay. But we'll take the Sopranos guy.
W. Too bad we'll have to tell him how bad we think that episode sucked last night.
Yeah. We want more Bobby Bacala.
Like, we'll tell him that.
Why the frig?
I hit the button.
What are you doing?
I said the F word. I didn't mean to.
Simon, what are you doing?
Why we have a button? Mm-hmm.
You know. But it's based in truth, because I was bitching about the fact that I'm going to give up on them. Buzz says there'll be three more episodes. I'm going to watch it till the end.
Of course you're going to.
I'm sorry, speaking the truth there. The F word came out. I said, who the F, really, if we get that guy on the show, we're not going to say to him tomorrow, God, we hate the last two episodes.
No, because the last two episodes don't represent the entire, you know, time they've been on. And besides, Bobby Bacala is one of the few actors on that show that has given us a great deal of joy. I'm going to ask about the fight with Tony. Because that was an incredible fight with Tony.
And also his many love scenes.
With Janice. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Lucky
Hello
man.
There, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hot as Italian meatballs.
Yeah, what's up?
What's that?
I said, did you like being on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye!
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Yes, I'm taking notes for Mr. Mellon.
And
I hear breathing.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, is it Don and Mike?
Now, you weren't paying attention.
I guess I wasn't.
Yes, you were.
No, you were not.
Is your name Jason?
No, my name's not Jason. My name's Manny.
Manny, where are you calling from? Northern California?
Yes, I am.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, Manny. Hang up, Manny.
Hey, about the Paris Hilton thing.
What, Manny? I believe we already asked you to hang up, please.
All right, peace.
Peace. Manny Ramirez from your Boston Red Sox calling it. Thank you, Manny. That was, you know what that was?
Manny,
that,
Moe, and Jack.
That was just Manny being Manny. That's a Red Sox joke.
I know it is, but Manny Moe, and Jack.
Right? Manny Sanguin. You'll remember that name from your...
Who is Manny Sanguin?
Manny Sanguin, famous catcher in the Pittsburgh Pirates organization.
I'm out. You're king of the Mannys. Because I thought I had...
Manny Mota.
Oh, yeah, the great Manny Mota.
Oh, wow, you're piling on now with too many Mannys. Mike's the king of the Mannys. Mike's the king of the Mannys.
Good. I like being king of the Mannys. Not a big kingdom. I like that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hey, I saw that Spider-Man movie, and I got to say, I kicked Kirsten Dunst out of bed for eating crackers. She didn't look too good in that movie.
Yeah, a lot of my friends have told me also she looks like she's lost about 100 pounds.
Well, Perez Hilton on his website always calls her Kirsten Drunks, and apparently she's quite the partier, or at least that's the way he paints. You know, who knows whether he's got his little personal deals on that website. But,
that movie sucked, right? Spider-Man, you saw it?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was slow, and there was too many love scenes in it. And Tobey Maguire, he was a wuss in that movie. Too much, he was crying too much.
Thank you, Roger. Good talking to you.
Otherwise, you liked it.
Godspeed, Roger.
Love the show, guys.
Thank you.
Home soon.
Bye-bye.
Safe home.
Safe home.
Safe home, Rog.
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert. Safe home, Roger Ebert. I'm feeding off the Colbert Report. Roger Ebert. Cisco and Ebert.
I was like, do you remember when the guy played for the Saints, Bobby Hebert?
Yeah, Bobby Hebert with his mother.
H-E-B-E-R-T.
Right.
That was Bubby Brewster's mother.
Oh, that's right. It was Bubby.
Bobby Hebert, H-E-B-E-R-T, was like a Cajun with the Bobby Boucher speak, the dialogue, and his dialect. And when announcers would see his name, they would go, Bobby Hebert.
Hebert, and it's the T silent. That's that Cajun thing there.
You right. Still sometimes hear a guy on, like even on the NFL channel, say, Jake Delhomie.
Mm-hmm.
Delhoma.
When it's Delhomme, right?
Delhomme.
Delhomme. Is he another Bayou guy?
Yes, he is.
They all have those weird pronunciations.
Right.
Are we on anywhere down there anymore?
No.
It's been a long time since we've been on that Lafayette station.
Dude, that's the answer to are we on anywhere.
Are we on there anymore?
Baton Rouge, Lafayette.
Not Baton Rouge, huh? New Orleans? Lafayette?
That's right.
Mobile?
Those are all... not even in Lafayette anymore.
That's a shame. Wow. That's what I don't like about the South. Damn it. Damn it, Hebert.
Hey there, boy.
Hey there, boy.
Hey there,
boy.
Welcome.
I'm just trying to think of ERT now to pronounce it silently.
Would you like? Well, now you can. Would you like some sherbet? Or do you say sherbet?
No, I got one for you. I got one. The shampoo you use, pear.
Pear. Yeah, it would be pear if you
or pear. Pear. No, it's P-E-R-T, so it would be pear.
Right. You know, like P-E-A-R.
Right.
Would be how you pronounce pert.
Right.
Right. Hey, who cut the far?
Don't harm me.
What?
Don't hurt.
Don't hurt me.
Don't hurt me. God, I'm no good at this game.
Meanwhile, look, we reached the cranial impasse with him over there. He's having trouble with this. I saw him grabbing his head like he was thinking real hard.
Locked up on
him. He locked up on this one.
All I've got is the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Who?
Doris Robert.
Robert, but that's a good one. That's a classic, Robert.
Yeah, but now you can't. Now everybody can't take that and run with that.
No, boy, I'm really trying hard. It's hard. It's hard to find those little.
We're
last
still
things.
Playing the Bobby Hebert game,
the Siskel and Hebert game.
No, we got to hit a commercial.
I'm sorry.
We'll no, I'm sorry. Bobby Hebert is sorry. For God's sake,
go home and wash your hair with purr.
There.
Pear. It's
right.
Pear, not fur.
Right. I'm sorry.
Purr.
That would be you.
Where's my fur?
I'm sorry. You didn't need to be cur with me.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, I almost forgot. I bought some magazines. Do you want to just flip to the center section? Well, this is the female form, and they have focused on the breasts. Which are used primarily to feed young infants and also in foreplay.
Right.
This is Hustler, and this is a much more exotic magazine. Now, they have decided to focus more on the pubic region, the whole groin area.
Uh-huh.
Look at the expression on her face. You see that? See what she's doing? She's kind of looking right into your eyes, saying, "Hey, big boy.
Hey,
how you doing,
big boy?" Right.
It is.
Shaved is a magazine I'm not too familiar with, but again, if you flip to the center section, well, you see the detail that they go into in this picture here.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a tropical plant or some underwater thing.
Right. Hey, boy.
Shaved it.
Oh,
You like giant butterflies, you boy?
Whoa.
Why do you favor rape?
Way over the line, guys.
Hey, guys.
The Don and Mike Show.
Really? Wow, cool.
You know. Well, I can't believe Tony Soprano said that.
I got a DVD.
Are you still doing that there, boy?
That's what Larry would say. And I got a DVD there.
Hey there, boy. Anyway, what's wrong with radio? Well, everything is wrong with radio.
Radio, what would life be without it?
Here's a brief synopsis of today's crisis in radio.
Okay.
You know, there is one every single day.
And what happened today?
Well, first off, the New York Times had a very interesting article over the weekend about shock radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the one part of the article that I thought was interesting was, it says, meanness now appears to be a job prerequisite. Whether a host is belittling someone
mm-hmm.
who calls in or is the unwitting subject of a prank call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to draw the distinction.
Yeah.
If you out there listening call a radio show, no fault of the host if he tells you you're a dumbass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's rule number one.
Fair
it's
game.
The most,
you know, and there was a day where that was considered refreshing.
Mm-hmm. And now we're getting to the point where, I think it's been predicted, there's some people who are saying radio is just not, radio's too mean,
mm-hmm.
not nice, got to be nice to people, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Used to also be, excuse me,
mm-hmm. allergy season. Yeah, take a sip of that drink there, boy. Everywhere.
You need a
Claritin there. Took it there, boy.
Take another.
Took it there. Let me see.
I hope you get better. That was the opposite of being mean.
Yeah, that was nice.
You know, thank you, Rob.
That's how you do it.
Thank you very much.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There's a guy on the big Heritage station,
mm-hmm.
the old fart AM station, whose mom died in a house fire.
Okay.
Another DJ who's on another station with a brokered show, meaning he's one of these guys that pays for the airtime.
Mm-hmm.
He got on the air and said the following. He said, Mother Sykes, she's dead. That's the mother of this other
uh-huh.
DJ.
Okay.
To me, it's the vengeance of God. I ain't got no tears. Matter of fact, a woman that would have a fool like that deserve whatever's coming to her. She raised a sure enough idiot. My instincts say Charlie Sykes killed his mama. Because she lived out in this big palace, all isolated. He got tired of waiting for her money.
Well, that's not very nice. That's not very friendly. That's not very kind.
No, again, yeah, it is.
But, I mean, God, you know, really, can I just, to defend this industry just a little bit, it seems to me that little exchange, they had to do a lot of digging to find that. They had to do a lot of digging to find that kind of, you know, really? With all the guys that do whatever kind
Absolutely.
Of radio you think of the guys that are labeled shock jocks. We're in that category. We get the label whether we like it or not. You know, the people that are at a certain level aren't going to do that. They had to really dig to find some idiot to do that when somebody's mother died. I mean, come on.
And
give me a break.
I got to break it down for you on two levels. And I know you won't disagree with me on either one, so just for everybody listening.
Mm-hmm.
First, the guy that made the comment about the guy's mother was on a radio station that nobody listens to.
A brokered show, a show he had to pay the station to put on.
And he's buying his own time. So look at it like that. Second, I'm not proud of the things that we've said over the years on the show, specifically that I've said on the show over the years. You're talking about me personally. But it's a part of radio. I mean, in that regard, radio is like professional wrestling. Yes, it was incredibly insensitive. It's like when people would make fun of my situation with Frida, incredibly hurtful. But you didn't see me go running to the FCC
right.
or running to the newspaper saying, that's hurtful, we've got to take these people out of here.
That's the difference. You know, you're going to see somebody who's in television that has any kind of length in their television career is not going to be necessarily doing cartwheels over everything they've done in the business of television.
Right.
You're going to see people that are movies in the movie business that are, you know, unless they're extraordinarily lucky, because there's a much more limited output of content, But unless they're very lucky, they're not going to be proud of every single project that they've been involved in. Right. It doesn't happen all the time. What we're doing here is we're trying, we're paid to entertain people, we're paid to keep things moving. And this particular venue, this area of media, you've got 4 hours a day where you have to talk and you have to come up with stuff and you're doing it live and you're doing it without a script. Mm-hmm. And it is very potential. There's tremendous potential for stuff happening.
So I guess
that's why guys get in trouble occasionally.
The point I have to the New York Times is we cannot regulate our airwaves to the point where if some dumbass calls a radio show, you're worried about hurting his feelings by berating him. If it's someone who calls in to be a knowing participant on a show.
And it is, in a certain segment, certainly our audience, we have known over the years that they enjoy the fact that if somebody calls up and has something to say that sounds stupid, that we're going to call them on it and we're going to have fun with it. Also, if somebody calls in with something that's very intelligent and something fun, every 3 months or so, we have a good time with that person.
And for goodness sakes, I mean, is this really national news? And it will be tonight, this guy in Milwaukee. The guy at the brokerage station.
Oh, you mean this is going to be a big national story?
No, this is now.
Now that they've made it a brokerage show, a show that he pays, the guy, mm-hmm. that's in, God, that's where we're getting screwed.
That's the reason I brought it to your attention.
Right.
So you would see the opportunity that is there for these people that want to just keep piling on it, piling on. It's like, nobody said anything this week on the radio that got anybody in trouble, so we got to really go searching now.
Jesus, you know, a brokered show, that is really, that's like attacking all of television because somebody that was on cable access said something.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different world. It's not fair, but man, you know, we're still, and I said this to somebody right after the IMUS thing. I said, we have always been the most popular targets in America. People like to listen to us.
Mike means people in our industry. Jockery.
Right? I mean, they like to listen to us. We get we make good money for the station. But the fact is, when it hits the fan, you're going to be a target. It comes with the territory.
And
if you and I stepped on it, you know, I mean, it'd be the same damn thing.
As unpopular as it may sound, you don't fire a guy for saying that he's glad some other guy's mother is dead. You call him in and you say, hey, you're a jerk.
Right. I'm gonna do something very stupid here
because you're allowed to say that. If the audience doesn't want to hear it, mm-hmm. they'll speak.
I'm gonna do something stupid here where I'm gonna defend
with the ratings
management right. just a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Because this goes to the Imuses Uh-oh. And the Howards and Opie and Anthony's. And you know, you read about the big deals that get the big splash where the groups are up in arms and there are all sorts of meetings and press conferences and there's a tremendous amount of controversy. It should be said. And this is a little peek behind the curtain here, that management, there are a lot of other little things that happen during the course of a career. And I'm sure it's happened to Imus, it's happened to us, it happened to Opie and Anthony and Howard Stern and everybody else. The company does, defend and does back the talent. And it happens. And I'd be lying and we wouldn't be representing them accurately. It's not always, the guy does something wrong or somebody gets upset with something a shock jock says and the company cuts you loose.
However,
if you're making money, am I right? If you're making money for the station.
However. If at any point, like when the company has stepped up,
right.
if someone sues us for slander, and it's going to be a big, gigantic pain in the ass, you know why the company's always stood up? Because we make lots of money for them.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's where, but with that comes responsibility,
but if
too.
But if we didn't, they would say to us, just like they're doing with these schmucks up in New York,
mm-hmm.
who incidentally are still off the air, now for the third week,
mm-hmm.
without pay, for making some Asian prank right. phone call.
Right. Yeah, and they because it, timing in this business is everything. I mean, it is everything. It's when it happened. It's when the spotlight is on, and they have to do it. It's one giant PR deal. That's what they're doing.
I mean, my God, I think back to the good old days when you could wish disease on someone.
Mm-hmm. Those were the days.
When you could wish something awful to happen to someone without someone standing up and saying, "Wow, you've crossed the line, mister."
Do you know what really doesn't get paid attention to? What doesn't get paid attention with the whole IMUS thing and just for a second, yes, words can hurt people. I think we've acknowledged that. Yes, words can hurt. Words can hurt significantly. But the fact is, at the end of the day, the words that are said on this show, we're not going home and taking it home with us. We're not remembering every single thing that was said. You know, the fact is, you say words, you in particular say things to get a rise out of people. You know, you've done that for a million years. And it sounds trite and it sounds so, hey, I didn't really mean it, but it's the truth.
You did. We're just screwing around.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
We're screwing around. Yeah, we mean it. I mean, if we meant the stuff we say the time on the, I mean, we're saying it for, you know,
right.
we're having fun. We're making, and it really, the fact is that's what people seem to lose sight of sometimes.
And what bothers me is when I read in the New York Times, you know, the paper of record, where even they are saying a paper that leans my way more times than not.
Right.
When they're saying in a big article,
mm-hmm.
we got to worry about the person that calls into a radio show being treated mm-hmm. with civility and hospitality, and this is what's wrong.
No.
It's like, dudes, this is so not what's wrong.
Right. Right. That's like saying, okay, we don't want you to do any, you know, we want to tell you how to do journalism, you know. And really, once again, it gets back to the be all end all. You want to make some changes? Okay, give us the rule book. You know, it involves words. If you're concerned about words, hey, yeah, but as far as, you know, don't be mean. Oh, come on. Give me a break. I mean, really.
So anyway, this guy in Milwaukee is going to be the guy that you hear about now. But just know when you hear the story and it says one disc jockey said he's glad another disc jockey's mother was dead. The one disc jockey is a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
The other disc jockey, we all have empathy for.
Right.
But is this the type of thing that should be in our national headlines?
Well, they're going to make it, they're going to make this as large as they can because it sells papers, it gets people to pay attention, and they're doing the same thing. You know, how often have we said, oh, this is really horrible, we want to warn you, but then again, we're going to show it to you over and over again. Why are we going to do that? Because we know you want to see it, we know it's going to boost our ratings. I mean, nobody sits at the top of the mountain. I mean, nobody sits at the mountaintop and passes judgment. Everybody's in this business. We're in the business of trying to entertain people, and occasionally it's going to get a little messy. It's going to cross the line. It happens. It really does.
Can't anymore, Mike. Remember.
Right.
I heard it last week from the president of our company. There's free speech, and then there's free speech at CBS.
And you know what? And I would say to him, if he's got the rule book with you know, the guidelines, but there's where, and here's the biggest, this is the most frustrating thing about doing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
They all want us to be edgy, but they all want us to toe the line as far as, you know, what you're supposed to say and what you're not. But nobody gives you any guidelines.
Right.
Hey, to end this little lecture on the screwed up nature of our business, consider this, that I was reading in the Entertainment Weekly magazine, big article this weekend about how they're going to come down on violence on TV
mm-hmm.
and how the TV producers now are feeling awful about this.
Mm-hmm.
They had a guy, anonymous, because he's afraid he would get fired, said, this has nothing to do with violence, said, today in 2007, All in the Family could not get on the air.
Absolutely not.
On regular TV.
I believe that, mm-hmm. and that, you know what?
And Jesus. But it got on the air in 1971.
Right. 71. It was a different climate. I mean, We are so screwed up right now with our priorities. It's truly mind-boggling what we worry about now. And what especially we allow the people that we elect to worry about. It blows me away. It's insane. It's really insane.
Do we have some good Archie Bunker tapes?
I mean, Archie Bunker.
That was shocking at the time.
But Archie Bunker was held up to ridicule as the bigot that he was and hysterical at the same time.
Right.
It was a win-win.
People got
today
it.
People would be too uptight.
And imagine that. I'm reading really where an executive says, if All in the Family, one of the most groundbreaking, funny, memorable TV shows of all time, came out today, they'd pass.
Wow. I mean, bigots are funny because they're stupid.
Right.
That was the whole deal. You know what I mean? Really?
And laugh.
Here we go.
Like, what's wrong with this?
You know something, Archie? Just because a guy is sensitive and he's an intellectual and he wears glasses, you make him out a queer.
I never said a guy who wears glasses is a queer. A guy who wears glasses is a four eyes. A guy who's a fag is a queer.
Couldn't get on TV today.
You know?
It couldn't get on TV today.
Still funny, though.
It still holds up after all these years. It really does.
Funny. Okay, that's it. That's lecture over.
End of pep talk?
Pep talk over.
Very good.
When we come back, we'll get to something a little less controversial, Mike.
Something on the lighter side?
Something that I don't think anyone or their dead mother will have a problem with.
Very good. Watch it, Shock Jock.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is a one-shot thing we got going on here.
There's nobody's business but ours.
Yeah.
You know I ain't queer.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Yeah, me either.
The Don and Mike Show.
How about you, Mike?
Me neither.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Theater of the Mindless. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, let me just go back for 1 second, that last break. Here is the breaking news on the media sites. Shock radio out of control. Host suspended after remarks about rival's dead mother.
Wow.
Let me see. Courier Communications, Gospel and Talk, WNOV.
That's where most of the upcoming shock jocks live, gospel radio.
Oh, that's where the guy made the comment.
You mean it's a gospel station?
Yes. Morning co-host Michael McGee Sr.
Oh, senior?
You said he's really a senior, right?
No, hold on a second. Because now that I read about it, you've got to hear the whole story. Okay. It sounds like it's a father and son team, and they fired the father, but the son continues.
Oh, no.
Junior.
All right, so this is the headline. Blah, 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 blah. Sport, blah, 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 blah. Morning co-host Michael McGee Sr. Has had a long-running on-air feud with Charlie Sykes of Crosstown News Talk,
wow.
WTMJ.
And the news talkers also have most of the shock jocks.
Has been suspended / fired on the heels of comments he made following the death of Sykes' mother in a house fire. The quote, Mother Sykes, she dead.
Who he?
To me, it's the vengeance of God.
Oh, so let's see, there's the gospel playing into it.
I ain't got no tears.
Wow.
McGee Sr. called Sykes a fool and an idiot and suggested that his rival killed his mother himself because, quote, he got tired of waiting for her money. I think we had heard that already.
Right. Sounds like maybe they might know each other a little bit.
It says that they've been fighting for a while.
Okay.
Station owner has suspended McGee Sr. from the air indefinitely. May fire him. McGee Sr., whose son and Milwaukee alderman, Mike McGee Jr., is part of the show.
This sounds like the big time. We are listening to big time here.
Talked about the subject for 5 minutes, moved on to another topic. Mike McGee Sr., a caller said, you didn't mean that about your enemy's family members being dead? Man, you don't think I mean that. Man, you out of your mind.
So he didn't confirm
says
or deny.
McGee Sr.
Whether he meant it or not.
Nope, that's it.
So the McGees, they're still brokered time, though, right?
Uh-huh.
So basically when you suspend them, you just don't take their check?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's the boss if they're buying the time.
And, hey, John in the back room, if you could Google this story and get the pictures... You got to get the picture of the guy whose mom passed away.
Okay.
The guy whose mom was in
the That's the guy from the news talk right, station.
Because he looks like, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's white guy. I'm happy. Hey, super, here I am. Yeah. Meanwhile, this guy that did the speaking,
right.
The guy that did the shock jockery,
yeah,
looks like a Rastafarian that meets you at the airport in Jamaica. And ask
is he an older guy?
There he is.
Oh yeah. There he is.
That's Charlie Sykes.
Looks like George Clinton.
No, that's not Charlie Sykes, Buzz.
According to this, it is.
No, that's not.
Okay.
That is definitely
that's
the guy
McGee, right?
From the gospel station.
Hey, Mr. McGee.
Okay. Is it?
Buzz had it wrong.
Right.
Got it backwards. The
Google search turned it up with his name because both names are in the story.
But I think really, if you look at this, this horrible example about what we do. And we all could make an effort to just be nicer. Like, may I say something nice now, something that I really feel for people?
Yes, what?
I'd really like to say that there was an event here this weekend in our area that was canceled, and I really feel bad for the people that...
the Bay Bridge Walk.
I want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'm really, really sorry that the Bay Bridge Walk was canceled due to high wind, and it won't be rescheduled.
Whoa!
There, now Buzz has the picture.
There's Charlie Sykes.
There's the guy from the news talk station. Okay?
I don't think they probably hang out together. They're probably not friends.
He looks like a Charlie Sykes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder where the hostility. They don't look like they'd be hanging out.
I don't know. I mean, usually when you've got that kind of venom, there's something personal. There's usually a little something. There's some contact somewhere down the road.
Maybe they're cousins.
Well, they would have gotten along better if they went on the Bay Bridge walk together.
Well, it's,
you've always been such a supporter of that, Mike.
Just total crap.
I leave my head back and laugh when I heard that it was canceled this weekend. Mm-hmm. You've always loved that event, too, don't you, Don?
Yeah, it screws up traffic big time.
Shut down the entire damn bridge so people can walk across it, and it won't be rescheduled.
Hi.
Thank you. Sorry. That was cruel. That was cruel shock jockery right there.
Mike?
Yes, I'm here.
Michael.
Uh-huh.
America's favorite brand names. God, I'm a brand name guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love brand names. What do you think, just released now, for the first quarter of 2007?
Right.
What do you think our favorite bank is?
Favorite bank?
Our favorite bank brand name.
Fifth Third.
Huh?
Yeah, I said that too. That's a bank down in Florida that I've never understood the name of. Fifth Third. Number one, Bank of America.
Number two, Buzz.
I would say BB&T.
Not even all of it. It's Wachovia.
Wachovia. They just had the golf tournament, the Tiger Woods, over the weekend.
Right. How about this one?
Commerce.
Commerce Bank.
Are they on the list?
I don't know what I'm doing in here. How about airline?
Oh, that's easy.
Yes.
That's a Spirit. United. I'll say American.
Southwest.
Southwest.
Really?
Here you go.
Branding.
What's our favorite athletic footwear brand?
Crocs.
Nice. I'm sorry. Nike, I would think.
Athletic footwear, Adidas.
Adidas. No, it's Mike, and I'm surprised because I always kid you for wearing these.
K-Swiss?
No, New Balance. Didn't you used to wear New Balance?
No, I had one pair of New Balance a long time ago.
For wide feet.
For wide, yeah, yeah, good for wide feet.
How about, and who did this? The Harris Poll people did this.
How dare you? It's true.
What?
What are you doing?
Just him for wide feet. Things that appeal to Rob. For super wide feet.
What is our favorite brand name coffee shop?
Famous brand name coffee shop. Yeah. Kyle was Starbucks, of course.
No.
Really?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Really? Dee Dee's.
Right.
Also for wide feet.
Also for wide feet.
And big breasts.
Wide feet, big asses, big breasts.
What about in the survey of our favorite brand names, our favorite brand name computer in the first 3 months of 2007?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say Dell.
Mm-mm.
Commodore.
Hey, Joe, can I have another drink here?
A Mac?
Apple, Mike. I'm
Apple.
Sorry.
So it is Apple?
Oh. Yes, Apple.
Apple's number one. That's because it's the fruit.
How about, here's another weird one. Our favorite credit card. Our favorite brand name credit card.
Oh, I know this one. I'm going to say Diners Club. No?
Might as well.
Wrong again?
No, it's Discover.
Discover? No.
I'm telling you.
It's got to be Visa or MasterCard.
No, it goes Discover, Visa, American Express, MasterCard, Capital One.
All right. Okay.
In your wallet.
Discover. Yeah, they advertise an awful lot. Yeah.
Okay, how about our favorite gasoline?
Huh.
Even though we all get raped when we go to the pump.
Now, this will be the whole one here.
Why do you favor rape?
I'm ready for this one.
Okay,
this is racetrack. Racetrack.
No.
It's right. I'm gonna say Exxon.
No, it's
that's
not
fine.
Exxon.
Final answer.
Final answer?
No, it's BP.
Beep? No.
This can't
is
be right.
There's bribery going on.
This is
there's bribery going on here.
Have you heard of the Harris Poll people?
I have, but are they drinking?
Yeah, Buzz, you have no room to say anything. You just put up a picture of the Rastafarian and say he's the guy that works at WTMJ.
You were talking about the Rastafarian. Anyway, they both came up on the Google
search. I buy into that BP because, remember, they just absorbed Amoco. So every Amoco is now a BP.
BP. But
so that could be.
Green, pretty green.
Very nice.
Pretty green.
Pretty green.
What is our favorite in the first 3 months of 2007? Our favorite quick serve restaurant.
Okay.
They don't say fast food now. They say quick serve.
If it's just
which
fast
is a joke
service.
Too.
O'Mara's.
I had to. I had to.
People don't realize. I get fined every time I do that. That was an expensive joke.
Hey, look around, Pepe.
No, that's easy. I'll, now, serious answer. Checkers. Tom, I'm being serious here.
Well, would it be McDonald's, of course?
No, it's Subway, Mike.
Oh, Subway. All right.
Subway.
I eat there every day.
Subway.
Subway. Very healthy.
Okay, one more.
All right, I'm ready.
One more. Here we go. Our favorite soft drink.
Now, this is going to require a little bit. There's so many. This is going to require a little bit more thought.
It's not that turkey stuff we had around Thanksgiving.
I'm going to go on a limb here. It's one of the light beers.
If not Faygo.
Faygo. It's Fanta.
RC.
Fanta. Is it? No. All right. Serious answer. Yoo-hoo.
Come on.
I'm going to say Diet Coke.
No. Buzz.
I was going to say Hojo. Hojo Cola. That's what I was going to say.
Well, Pepsi's my favorite.
You were so dry there. You were being
silly, like me.
That's right.
Yes.
So arid.
Hojo.
Yes. No, it's Diet Pepsi.
Arid dry.
Diet Pepsi, but you like
that's
Diet
my choice.
Pepsi.
I'm drinking it now.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll give it to you real fast. Here's
any more? Are there any more? This is fun.
There's 8 million of them.
Please, more. Please, give, please.
All right, over-the-counter allergy medicine.
Oh, boy. Allergy medicine?
Yes.
I'm going to say Claritin.
No, it's Benadryl.
Benadryl.
Contact,
how about this? Last one. Not counting your joint, Mike.
Okay.
Our favorite brand name restaurant for casual dining.
Carrabba's. They're a fine, fine client, and I say nothing ill. I'm going
to
give another
I've never
answer.
Had to wait there either.
All right. Casual dining?
Very casual.
Very casual. All right. Denny's.
Not that casual.
All right.
Buzz?
Olive Garden.
Olive Garden is at number 2.
Ah.
I have a guess.
Yep.
Applebee's?
No. Here we go. I'll give you let me see.
Good.
One, 10 to 1. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's a couple of ties.
All right.
But from the bottom to the top, it's Arby's,
uh-huh.
IHOP.
Yeah.
Chili's, Fridays,
yeah.
Tuesdays, Ruby Tuesdays,
mm-hmm.
Hooters, Applebee's,
uh-huh.
Olive Garden, and tied for number 1, someone please flip a coin. Outback or Red Lobster?
Outback or Red Lobster?
Okay.
There they are.
Our favorite.
There they are. I like this list a lot.
You know what I like about Red list. Lobster?
What's that?
Even though it's casual, you can dress up if you like.
Yeah, if you like, you can wear a suit.
I know.
You can wear a suit. And not like a business suit. Like a clown suit.
A lobster suit.
A lobster suit. You can wear, they will serve you if you're dressed as a lobster.
But you must wear shoes.
And I tell you, though, when you're wearing the claws, that drawn butter is one pain in the ass.
What
really is.
What is our favorite mid-scale hotel?
Mid-scale hotel? The Breezeway. mid-scale hotel, I would say Hampton Inn.
That's third, Mike.
Okay.
That's third. Buzz?
Holiday Inn.
That's fifth. It's ooh. Comfort Inn.
Comfort Inn.
Sleepy Bear.
How about...
Do they still use the Sleepy Bear?
Some places, yeah, they do.
Let me see.
Do you really know that?
I do know that.
Cell phones. Cell phones. What's our favorite brand name of cell phones?
Cell phone. Brand name like Carrier or like as far as the service that we own, the provider?
Who makes the phone?
Oh, makes the phone.
Who makes the phone?
I'm going to say...
I know, the Japanese.
Motorola.
No, Buzz.
Ericsson.
Close. You're both on Samsung.
Samsung.
Thought of them.
I got me one. I think.
And
no, I have a Sanyo.
We both
yeah, we all have Sanyos. Motorola.
Oh, here's one more that's actually interesting, I think.
Okay.
Online travel. Because who doesn't do that now? What's our favorite online travel?
Scat travel. Well, it's not the same website.
No, it sure is.
It's a derivative of scatlover.com.
Come on, what do you think it is?
I'm going to say a Travelocity.
That's third. Buzz.
Expedia.
There you go.
Ah.
Found a nut.
Blind squirrel, say hello to the nut.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's Expedia, Orbitz, Travelocity, then on down at Priceline, CheapTickets.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's all.
Not no more?
Well, yeah, there's more. But
did I just say not no more?
Look at the time boy.
I'm sorry.
The time boy.
We're running out of
time boy.
All right, no problem.
All right, Mike, how about regular beer?
Regular beer?
Regular beer, not light beer.
All right.
Regular beer.
Wiedemann's. No, I'll say regular beer, Budweiser, number one.
Budweiser's fifth.
Miller.
Miller is third.
Oh, man. Pabst.
Come on, you own a bar. Come on, seriously. Pabst.
Number one, you mean the brand name number
favorite
one?
Favorite brand name beer in America for the first 3 months of 2007.
All right, you said Budweiser, no. Well, I mean, it's a light beer.
It's not.
It's not?
It is not.
Jesus, I'm totally lost. Heineken?
No, Heineken is way down there.
Coors.
Winner.
Wow.
Winner.
Well, I'm fascinated. That's yeah. Not with my experience.
No. How about with light beer?
Light beer would be Miller.
No.
A tie with Miller and Bud Light.
No and no.
Really?
No?
No and no. But
light beer?
Michelob.
Michelob Ultra.
No.
Heineken Light.
No.
Amstel Light.
No.
Coors.
Coors Light, Silver
Coors
Bullet?
Coors Light, number one.
The Coors Company came in. Wow.
They're very big in the Midwest.
Would you like to take this home with you so you can restock your restaurant?
Yeah.
Study
just so I'll know what the customers want.
There you go.
Right. And I'll know how to get them to a good hotel. Wow.
Oh, I know what time it is.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Oh, it's that time already. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
You find the good ones that I miss, Mike?
Pizza.
Oh.
Favorite pizza.
Ha! Domino's.
You're right. You got it.
Very good.
I cheated.
You looked at it before?
Of course I did. Of course I did. Papa John's is number two.
Yeah, Papa John's is number two, followed by Pizza Hut and then Little Caesars.
Right. How about favorite afternoon radio host?
Sean Hannity.
Exactly.
Christopher Corr. Is he still on?
He's not even on in the afternoon anymore, Mike.
He isn't?
He's not.
I should pay attention to that more.
Like, you're not like me and you don't get up every morning. At what time is he on?
Who knows? Who listens?
Well, we'll find out what time he's on, then we'll make the joke.
Mm-hmm. You should have mentioned this one with your compulsion.
What's that?
Toothpaste.
I didn't even see toothpaste.
Mm-hmm.
Crest.
Wrong.
You're lying. I saw the list.
It's Gleam. No, Crest is number one, Colgate number two. That's fun. I'm going to try to keep this.
Of course, it's yours.
Thank you very much.
Would you like me to autograph that for you?
Please, just put your John Hancock on that. Sign me and personalize it, will you, please?
Oh, he will.
Sign me something nice. Hey, he's doing it right now before we go to break. That's very nice.
Mike.
Don't make it personal.
Yeah, he's writing something. He stopped reading it, so might be something secret.
Yeah,
something very special.
I mean, that's something he wants to seeing this. Share on the air.
And I didn't write my standard. Yaz is a fag.
Okay, okay.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Me to you. Read it out loud. Okay.
Don and Mike to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The worst thing on the radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Here we go, Diamond Buzz.
Brought to us tonight by eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamonds.com. www.e-diamonds.com or call 1-800-HER-LOVE. Tomorrow on the show, make sure I will tell you about my brother Jim.
Please. Okay. All right.
News about my brother Jim.
Good.
That will affect everybody.
Ooh.
Affect everybody on this show.
That's significant. Can't wait. It's very exciting.
He's coming by, boy.
Oh, is he driving his truck?
He's driving his Harley.
Oh, his Harley.
And he's bringing his old lady with him.
Wonderful. On the back of the Harley?
Yeah.
Ooh.
14 hours.
That's a sore. That's a sore butt there, boy.
They're going to want a shower.
Yeah. I'll tell you about that tomorrow. Also, have you practiced your Guitar Hero yet?
This weekend I played. I practiced. Good. And I'm getting a little bit better at it.
Let's rap about it tomorrow.
Absolutely.
So we can have our big Guitar Hero playoff.
Very good.
And now with all other things, and a lot of other stuff we didn't get to today, we'll get to tomorrow. Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz. You know.
You know.
You know. You know.
Let's begin with a Hasselhoff update. A judge.
I'm going to stop.
That's him. A judge this afternoon has ordered the troubled Baywatch actor to get counseling and to stay away from his kids. He can only talk with them by phone after the release of a video showing him drunk on his living room floor, talking with his daughter. The judge passed on watching the video in court today. He says he's already seen it on TMZ.
You know, here's the problem, Buzz. The reason I went, we're making judgments on people we don't know.
Right.
This tape is 3 months old. I'm not an apologist for David Hasselhoff, but Jesus Christ, it's like the tape comes out Thursday.
Yep.
He's in front of a judge today. Can anyone else tell us where we get this lickety-split justice happening?
It doesn't seem like it happens anywhere else, but when the celebrities do this, it seems to turn around quickly.
I don't know what determines that. Also from TMZ today, we've learned that extreme home makeover guy Ty Pennington was
good morning alcohol.
Arrested over the weekend in Los Angeles on suspicion of drunk driving. He's now out on $5,000 bond.
I'll drink to that.
Let's go in there. Oh, you know what's sad is that about drunk. Well,
it's all
with everything sad about drunk driving.
Yes,
but that guy for the Cardinals.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a pitcher for the Cardinals, and I guess it was like last weekend after a game. He drove into the back of some truck, and the team had to cancel the game, and they had a big thing saying what a great guy he was. Not that he wasn't, but then they find out his blood alcohol level was
twice the legal limit.
A million times a million.
Yeah.
And
had a bag of weed in the car, too.
Who's the old guy who's that old thinks he's cool? Tony La Russa.
Tony La Russa, what did he say? He's the manager of the Cardinals.
He got nabbed on a DUI in spring training.
Yeah, he did, and I guess they banned beer from the clubhouse, and I didn't know they had beer in clubhouses. I didn't know those guys were drinking beer down there. But Terry Francona, manager of the Red Sox, was talking about it in the Boston Globe today, he doesn't think they need to do that right now, that they have restrictions on it.
Again, that's our knee-jerk reaction society that we live in. It's like these ballplayers got beer and pills and everything else after the game. One of them goes out and does something stupid.
Right.
Right away you make a knee-jerk reaction.
Ban it from the clubhouse.
Right.
Anyway,
I don't know if they banned it from cross-country flights when they're flying from game to game, but I guess what Francona says was, any regular plane that you take a plane ride on, right, you're going to have beer and wine on a plane.
They can still show up drunk, right?
In the great tradition of Babe Ruth,
right?
It's just sad that they had presented this guy, and not that he wasn't, because I'm not passing judgment.
Right.
He was stupid to drink and drive.
Well, you're making a judgment on all the other players based on what happened to one guy,
right.
And that's like if they said, well, because we have people that can't handle it, we can't have anything in this country for adults.
And it bothers me when a story like this is presented like it was on SportsCenter, when the guy first gets in this wreck, and they're going, this is an awful thing, he was well-loved by his teammates, blah, blah, blah. Then, 4 days later, they get the blood results, and they say, incidentally, that guy that we were talking about being such a great guy,
drunk driving!
Yeah, and the thing is, he was drunk driving. It doesn't mean that he wasn't a good guy in certain other aspects of his
life. That's exactly my point.
He was respected by his teammates. They loved him. He was a good guy in the clubhouse. He made a mistake, and obviously he paid for it with his life.
They take away all the great stuff they said when they were eulogizing him, and then it's like, oh, yeah, incidentally, our manager had the same thing, so no more beer now for the Cardinals.
And it's like we're Busch Stadium, right? Isn't that still Busch Stadium?
Yes, it is.
Ironic.
Yes, it is.
And that's strange.
What a tangled web we weave when a movie endeavors to receive a record $148 million on its opening weekend. Spider-Man 3 broke all previous box office records over the weekend with $148 million here and $375 million in worldwide ticket sales.
I totally would not know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is an amazing number.
It's been a while since the last blockbuster.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Spider-Man.
Respect.
Spider-Man.
Respect the time, Jan. Respect.
You still going to go see it this week?
Learn what it means to me. I'm busy this week.
All tied up.
Just can't make it on time.
Yeah, sometime.
Clearly, the world starved for entertainment.
How ambiguous, I mean. Sometime, Mike.
Sometime. You're not motivated.
Sometime, my lord.
That's right. Okay, my lady.
But will Spidey 3 fill the bill of entertainment that the world is starving for? The Washington Post has called it plain awful, as you may have heard. New York Post says it's too long and complicated. But it doesn't really matter as long as the tickets sell. That's why Sony executive Michael Lighton says there will be at least 3 more sequels, and maybe more than that. Quoting him, as many as we can make good stories for.
Oh,
why stop there?
Well, there's no way Tobey Maguire will...
You're making TV shows now. You're not making movies anymore.
Right. It's a TV series. It's a serial.
Sucks.
It was a spider-less weekend for 9-year-old Jesse Courtney of Albany, Oregon. Till Friday, Jesse had spiders in his ear. His mother didn't know what to think when Jesse kept telling her he heard a faint popping in his ear like Rice Krispies. As a doctor discovered, and as Jesse describes it, they were walking on my eardrums.
Oh, I wish that I had Jesse's girl.
There were 2 spiders living in Jesse's ear until the doctor flushed them out on Friday.
Oh.
Both spiders were about the size of pencil erasers each, and one of them was still alive when they were irrigated out.
Oh, Catsy.
I just say about the size of a perfectly shaped female nipple.
It occurred to me when I read pencil eraser. Now both spiders are dead and kept in a jar for show and tell. Quoting Jesse, it was real interesting. What next? And the thing about kids is, they're bad for the planet. While some environmentalists...
You don't have the education and you can't hardly get a job.
That's right. While some environmentalists worry about what kind of planet we'll leave for our kids, others are worried about the number of kids we'll leave on the planet in terms of carbon dioxide emissions. One population group says that if couples would stop at 2 kids instead of having 3, it would be the equivalent of canceling over 300 round trips between London and New York.
Hey, you know something?
How in the name?
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Who are these people?
By figuring the amount of carbon dioxide we generate through our lives.
That's still a tall order to figure those stats out.
Oh, sure, but there's always a guy with a calculator willing
to
do it.
It's an inconvenient bunch of crap.
It certainly is.
People are thinking too much.
A new study by the Optimum Population Trust says having one less child would do a lot more than just turning off unnecessary light bulbs.
You know why he likes this story?
Because he hates kids.
And he's feeling like he's done a public service
now.
He's
barren.
Kids are bad for the planet. I'm just explaining this.
All right, no. Cars are okay.
That's
it's
right.
Kids that are bad.
That's right. There are currently 7 billion people on the planet. At this rate, in 50 years, it will be 9.5 billion. Now, China's tried to deal with the problem. Since it holds 1/5 of the world's population.
You're doing a super job of it, incidentally.
In the 1970s, China started fining families for having too many children.
Have less kids, dude.
The rich, of course, paid the fines and bought their way around the policy.
I would be glad to pay for a son.
Yes, you get one son, but no daughter. Yeah.
Well, other people just started ignoring the policy, and Chinese people also started having children at a younger age.
Yeah. I like to screw.
But you know, you have a kid in a China, you have one baby, half hour later you're ready to have another baby.
Of course.
Don't file me for that.
No. Of course, every cause has its extremists. The head of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, for instance, has said for years that human beings are the AIDS of the earth.
Is it Ed Begley Jr.? Is that who the guy is?
No, but perhaps he knows him.
Is it Brad Hall, that tool that's married to Julia Louise Louis Dreyfus?
No, it's not Brad Hall. It's Paul Watson, and he says he won't apologize.
Paul Watson! I want to have your son!
Paul also says we already have 6 billion more people on this planet than we should. He says no single community should ever be larger than 20,000 people, which means not only are New York, London, Paris, and Moscow too big, but so are Moose Jaw, Timbuktu, and Annapolis, Maryland.
To any of these people,
mm-hmm.
You know, the easiest way to take care of this?
How's that?
Jump the frig off a building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, stop running your mouth about it.
Mm-hmm.
Off yourself.
Yeah, do it dramatically.
Make it
a show.
If you're concerned about the world being overpopulated,
mm-hmm.
Don't tell people not to procreate.
Mm-hmm.
Kill yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you'll take care of one less.
Make a positive contribution.
Just before you jump, you know, one less.
Right.
Well, not me.
Well, not this guy. This guy's fun. He believes that we need to revert back to sailing ships and to replace airplanes with solar-powered blimps in order to save the planet.
Hey, you know, that's good because that would contribute to all of us just slowing down a little bit.
Uh-huh. He also thinks we have too many cats and dogs.
Amen. Well, I agree about the first part.
Uh-huh. Well, I knew you would. A report.
John gives me away.
How are your 400 cats doing, John?
Just lovely. Thanks for asking.
John's got like 500 cats.
Did you dress them all up for your big birthday party over the weekend? Did you?
Hats and horns.
Raising them for food.
For Madam Case wouldn't be putting out after all. ABC News announced it
would, I thought he sucked.
ABC News said it would not be making public the names on the Madam's 46 pounds of phone records. Some folks believe the sigh of relief out of Washington might have been big enough to set off a Midwestern tornado, but ABC News says the truth is the names on that list just aren't that interesting. The biggest fish now appears to be the Bush administration's abstinence czar, whose name was leaked a week ago.
I think you might want to rethink. I know you take a lot of time writing this.
Uh-huh.
I believe that you just inserted a joke about the tragedy in Kansas.
Well, it wasn't really a joke.
I think you will want to think twice about that, Buzz.
All right, I will.
In this new climate, you just can't even go near anything.
Let's edit that out.
All right, very good. We'll do it. This is the rehearsal. We'll do it in the real
let's
show.
Let's pick it up again.
Mm-hmm. All right. ABC News says it will not make public the names. All right, yeah, I thought so. There were, of course, military leaders.
But you didn't know, did you?
You know, you can never be too careful.
Did you read about the Zadiera Hollander, where she was putting down that D.C. madam, saying that's the lowest thing you can do in their racket.
Right.
Right.
I think there are a few things lower she could do.
Revealing.
On his old balls.
Revealing your clientele. There were military leaders and NASA officials on the list, but mostly it was top business executives who, by the way, have the best lawyers. ABC says those names were just not newsworthy.
Forget the madam. What about Waylon Flowers?
Yeah, really. How's his hand doing?
Gosh, I hope he wasn't in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
See, I just did it, Buzz.
There you go. I feel better now. Hey, if you like it dirty, though, get thee to Iowa.
I do.
There are over a dozen towns in Iowa where there are far more incoming telephone calls than there are people. The vast majority of these calls are to sex talk lines that are headquartered there and throughout the Midwest. The phone companies are upset about this for reasons too boring and complicated to repeat here, but they say having all these calls funneled into small Midwestern towns is going to eventually drive up the price of long distance for everyone. The phone companies have actually started blocking some of these
phone sex numbers. So are you saying the phone sex people work in Iowa?
They put their headquarters there. They funnel their calls through there because apparently it has something to do with per-minute long-distance rates to rural areas.
So it's just cheaper in Iowa to have their headquarters.
Apparently for the phone sex people and the phone companies say it's hurting them and eventually will hurt us.
And all the girls are corn-fed.
That's right.
Corn-fed, baby.
Mm-hmm.
An Iowa sex line? Go on, then I take my clothes off. Go on, get naked.
Yeah.
The phone sex people say it's just sour grapes. They say what they're doing is good not only for the phone companies, but for the people of Iowa.
Sour.
When we come back, why does Google hate women?
Hmm.
I don't know, Rob. It's my favorite search engine. I know that.
Well, I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crespa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Yep.
You know.
What not?
Couple of jock strap characters. Don and Mike.
What glorious goons.
Don't never ever trust Whitey.
That's about it. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Yeah, so why does Google hate women? Yeah. All the rage.
I know.
Why?
They won't listen.
Oh!
They just won't listen.
Maybe that's the reason, because all the rage on the internet this weekend.
Rage.
That's right.
Rage against the machine.
Across the country.
Road rage.
People were Googling the phrase.
Roid rage.
People were Googling.
Rage of Angels.
The rage game.
I've never heard of the Rage of Angels.
The Ragin' Cajun.
That's not rage.
The King of the Rage.
King of Rage.
Always has been.
King of Rage.
King of Rage.
King of Rage.
King of Rage.
Across the country, people were Googling the phrase, she invented. In its usual helpful way, Google answers, did you mean he invented? Boy, we all had a good laugh about that one. But it's a slap in the face to the likes of Bessie Nesmith, who invented liquid paper, and to the women who invented refrigerators, water heaters, fire escapes, windshield wipers, circular saws, and Kevlar.
And Betsy Nesmith, mother of a monkey.
Right.
Yeah, you know, Mike Nesmith's mom. Nine times out of ten, I would lose on that trivia question and say it's Peter Tork's mother.
I always thought for a while they thought it was an urban legend, Mike Nesmith's mom invented Whiteout.
I just know my wife wishes that woman never invented the circular saw. Not a day goes by.
I'd like to report a bank robbery, and by that I mean banks robbing people. American banks earned about $80 billion on fees last year. Compared to 10 years ago, that's up by about 1,867%. They charge fees for just about everything now, but don't try to take it away from them now that fees make up 56% of banks' income across the country.
But how much of that... What did I miss? Oh.
I just like to say at the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills, we don't charge any fees whatsoever, do we, Miss Evelyn?
Yeah, I see fish.
No, you don't, Chief.
Oh, thank you.
Not at all.
Mr. Drysdale.
No problem, Buzz.
A lot of Republicans are about to find out that once you go black, you never go back. All over the news today, how former Bush backers became Barack backers. The key example is Tom Bernstein, who went to Yale with Bush. He co-owned the Texas Rangers with Bush. In 2004, he donated the maximum amounts to both the Bush campaign and the Republican National Committee. $52,000 altogether.
His daughter can suck the chrome off whatever that statement is.
Bonnie?
Off a trailer hitch. Yeah.
Bonnie Bernstein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different guy. The guy who strategized...
Suck on that, losers.
The guy who strategized the Bush campaign that same year, 2004, now says he doesn't like the president's my way or the highway attitude.
It's not the same Bernstein. Just like I was so embarrassed when I first met Bonnie Bernstein. I said, you're the Bernstein Bears.
Wrong. That's wrong. Bernstein.
Wrong.
Different family.
She still let you ride in the car with her, though.
She sure did.
Mm-hmm. God, you always got those deals. Staying at Leah's house, riding in the car with Bonnie.
Yeah, oh yeah, it got me so much.
I wish I was more alpha.
It got me so much, Mike.
I know.
It got me so much.
You didn't get any.
No, of course I didn't.
I know.
pathetic. Sniffing my car seat.
So the former Bush strategist has switched to Obama. Even
we did.
Good night.
We did.
Even one time leading neocon Robert Kagan says Obama reminds him of John Kennedy. Somebody got on the PA system at Fort Lauderdale Airport the other day and started reading from the Bible. Specifically, they read the part that goes, if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death, end quote. One gay man there at the terminal, Terminal 3 baggage plane there, said it sounded threatening and frightening to him. Sheriff's investigators are now looking for the mad Bible reader and believe they will succeed in finding him. In the meantime, pick up a copy of the Bible and read the rest of Leviticus.
Isn't that just somebody like who picks up the house phone and do they still have such a deal in an airport where you just press a number and you can immediately be heard?
Yeah, can still page somebody, but this is somebody that got into the whole PA thing.
They think perhaps an employee, and they believe they're getting it narrowed down to who did this, who read it.
I remember two great things. The first one was that we used to love paging people in the airport, and Mike one time paged Major Woody.
Major Woody.
We about fell out. Mm-hmm. And the other one was my buddy Scott Shannon. Back in the day, he would, if he was on a road trip somewhere, he would have himself paged in an airport.
Just to be important.
And I would say, why? And he would say, well, boy, if anybody in Atlanta radio happened to be in Atlanta, they would hear Scott Shannon being paged in the airport. And everyone wants to know what Super Shan's doing in their town.
He's a smart man.
So the guy really would have himself paged at every airport.
Just to shake things up.
Yep.
Well, in Fort Lauderdale, this guy was reading from Leviticus, where you'll also find out it's okay to sell your youngest daughter into slavery, but that you should be stoned to death for working on the Sabbath. In another slap at the NFL, Leviticus says touching the skin of a pig makes one unclean. The French, speaking of which, have a reputation as being, among other things, snobby, rude, and judgmental. And if anything can be done to change that, it's probably going to have to start in France. A new survey by a French TV network says 44% of the French people have a negative view of themselves.
Right, it's called a mirror.
They are as too hard on themselves as they are on us.
Are you being a little hard on the beaver?
The French view of the French is even worse than the view from Americans, Germans, Italians, Brits, and Spaniards.
Well, of course it is, because we are French, we do not like you, we do not like them, and we do not like us.
And we have silly, silly, whistle-sounding sirens.
And do not forget, when Adolf Hitler came, we said, bend over, bonsoir, welcome Hitler.
Come right in, Hitler.
And then it was, oh yes, time for the Americans to save us.
We don't appreciate it, though. We are the French.
Well, finally, around the start of last month, a couple of students at Palm Harbor University High School in Palm Harbor, Florida, managed to get a couple of bottles of apple juice out of a school vending machine, empty them, fill them with urine, and put them back into the vending machine.
That's not right.
And then they waited and watched.
Who would do a thing like that, Mike?
They waited. Horrible. Waited to see the waited to see the reaction.
I don't know anyone who ever would have done anything even remotely like that.
Not even close.
They wanted to see the faces of people who might purchase the drink and drink the amber liquid.
They certainly wouldn't do that while doing a morning radio show.
Not at all.
Well, for these kids, no one seemed to take the bait, so they left.
Because you see, if you do a morning radio show, you're in the building before anybody gets there.
That's right, very early, all alone.
We never emptied out a bottle, though.
No, we did not.
No.
These students may have been early, but nobody showed up, at least not on their watch. They didn't get a chance to see anybody buy and drink the former apple juice.
We did something just as bad, though.
Mm-hmm. About a week later, though, it happened. The two guys responsible have confessed and now face some pretty serious charges. The boy who bought the apple juice that wasn't says he figured it out right away from the taste.
Gee!
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Frank never did.
This is not the best Diet Coke I've ever had.
We're in dangerous territory now.
I know. We should keep talking about that.
We will someday.
Someday. It wasn't nearly as bad as what he was talking about.
Same end result, though.
Right?
I mean...
Yeah, sort of.
Enough of talking in riddles. We'll see you
exactly.
Tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 And
remember, cater to those with wide feet.
Hey, New Balance boy.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Yeah, boy. How's your wife's voice, boy?
Gone!
Yeah, there. Yeah, so long there.
Hey, boy.
This is the Don and Mike Show.